It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. Jason Heiner from Tech Republic joins Serenity Caldwell from iMore. And, ooh, doctor, we're going to talk about Uber. Yes, more bad news. What is the future of Uber and United? And we'll talk about the Samsung Galaxy S8, the first Samsung phone not to explode since the Note 7. We've got the latest from Apple, augmented reality from Facebook, and insight into what a Steve Ballmer's been up to since leaving Microsoft. It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 611, recorded Sunday, April 23rd, 2017. Bezel come back. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible. Sign up for the Gold Plus One plan to get two free books and a 30-day free trial at audible.com/twit2. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/twit2. And by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect your business from ransomware and hacker attacks with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try it free at carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get two free bonus months if you decide to buy. And by Drobo, a family of safe, expandable, and easy-to-use storage arrays. Drobos are designed to protect your important data forever. Visit drobostore.com to learn more and use the code TWIT10 to save 10% off select Drobos, including the new Drobo 5N2. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the latest tech news. And Jason Heiner is here. You went back home. You were out here this week.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Yes. For the F8 Developers Conference from CBS Interactive. And I see JasonHeiner.com now on the thing there. Is that
indeed.
Jason is my best friend, my Boswell, because not only did he make me president of the internet many years ago in Tech Republic through a dual process election.
It's true.
But you wrote a great book, and I'm apparently a chapter in that book. I haven't had the nerve to read the chapter yet.
Chapter 9. You haven't read it yet. Wow. I didn't know that.
I read a little bit, but I just like am nervous about reading it. I do have,
fair
though.
Enough. I mean, I may never come back on this show once you read it. So
hey, website expired. Okay. What the hell? I clicked follow the geeks, and it said the website's expired. Let's go.
More people were going to we've pretty much not done followthegeeksbook.com, which we did when we launched it.
But we
pretty much send everybody to Amazon now because what we found was, business thing. Yeah, exactly. That's where they go anyway. And when they go to the website, they end up not going there. And so,
As I learned to my bitter dismay, you make more money from Amazon associate fees than you do from the royalties of a book. A little tip for the future authors of the world. Anyway, great to
being an author is brutal.
It's brutal.
Writing a book is not a way to make money.
No.
Don't ever go into it thinking you're going to make money. You know, 5%, 4% of people actually make money on it.
It's
something
an
like
awesome
that. It's a
book.
Terrible way, but it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
it's a lesson. You know, it's a labor of love.
Well, we're putting out a little warning to the naive and innocent among us. Welcoming also, no connection here, Serenity Caldwell from iMore.com. But don't do a book, Serenity. Are you considering they're pushing you to do a book? Never.
No, I won't say never, but the book that I would do has nothing to do with technology and would probably just be for my own personal satisfaction.
Would
I have
you
a
write
young
a novel?
Adult novel
Are
I've
you a novel?
On.
You
yeah.
You do a novel. You're fiction.
I had it's a novel / graphic novel, but it is very much in progress. Like I've been working on it for 10 years. So it's one of those, like, again, passion projects.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you're a great artist. Cause I remember you were the first one who showed really what you could do with an iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil. And you affected a whole article, a graphic article on iMore.com.
It did.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
So,
how else are you going to review a stylus than by showing how it writes and draws?
Yeah. So she did the Apple Pencil drawn review of the Apple Pencil. And by the way, you could. I would read your graphic novel. It's awesome.
Well, we'll see if I ever get the time to actually draw it. It's coming of age, grow up, like little kids story.
I love it. I love this character. Yeah. This little serenity. It's so great. I love it. Also here, Doctor. What's the matter, Doctor Owen J.J. Stone? What's the matter?
I've been spending the last 3 months writing a novel. I'm halfway through it.
Are you?
I ain't going to get no money.
No!
Now I got to rethink my life. No. And I don't even know how to read. It's hard enough writing.
We're talking about computer books. We're not talking about novels.
Oh, good, because this is fiction. This is amazing. I'll give you a secret tip. It's from a dream that I had where I was Jesus. This is true.
The book is?
This book is about Stephon Marbury, isn't it? This book is about Steph.
It sure is.
Or Wardell Curry.
Wardell, exactly.
And how they go down. Look, you see my shirt, Uncle Leo? How do I lean? You see, read it. Can you read it?
Incognito.
That's right. That's how I roll.
You've used that phrase on our show before.
I use it often, and I finally decided to put it on a shirt. And then if somebody wants to buy one, they'll message me, and now it's a million of them, and I give up on this book idea.
Well, where can people go to buy an Incognito t-shirt? Wear one, or would that be inappropriate?
I would love to see you. You know what? I let's do an experiment. Next time I come out, I'm going to give you one, and we're going to go to like a fancy restaurant, and I'm going to wear a suit, and you wear this t-shirt, and I just want to see what people say.
I'll be the Rachel Dolezal of Petaluma.
Oh, it'd be a great
socialist. We should send one to Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, we did not get together to talk about all of this fall to raw. We got here to talk about tech. But frankly, sometimes with the tech business, it's more fun to talk about novels and t-shirts than it is to talk about the tech. Jason, you were at Facebook's Developers Conference. F8 was this week.
Yes, sir.
We talked yesterday to a cheerleader for AR, Robert Scoble, maybe the best-known AR cheerleader in the world. He was very excited about what Facebook's planning with its augmented reality. In fact, what Facebook said was that they're introducing a new platform. Facebook loves platforms. Last year, the platform was the bots. This year, it's the camera in the Facebook app. He says it will be the first augmented reality platform. What does that mean, and what do you think?
Yeah. And look, Mark Zuckerberg even said, look, we know we're a little slow on this, but we're all in. That's a paraphrase, but that's essentially what he said.
We know we're stealing this all from Snapchat, but we're all in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, to be honest, I thought and I anticipated, I said earlier this year, I did an article in February where I said the two biggest moves Facebook could make for its future are AR and cloud, like Amazon AWS stuff, right? Where they take all they've learned from building data centers and the cloud and offer it to the world, because Facebook is incredible at that stuff.
They're the kings of scale. They are the kings of scale.
Yes, in the same way Amazon is. They could really give Amazon a run for its money in ways that other vendors aren't long term. Anyway, they're not talking about that yet, but AR, they did talk about, obviously. We didn't go 5 minutes into the keynote before Mark Zuckerberg was talking about AR. But I do think I'm kind of a split mind on this, because one of their CTO and the people there that talked about what they're doing in AR, they really understand this stuff deeply, right? They understand all the technical parts that you have to do to make this right and to make it happen. And they understand how hard it is and that they have to make it so it works on a phone, whereas this stuff is actually just a few years ago, you really almost needed a supercomputer to kind of run it, or at least a lot of cloud power. So they get that. But then their answer to AR right now is like putting stickers on photos. And so that does not impress me at all. I can, there's a picture I posted on Twitter where I'm sitting there, went to their like AR designer, and it basically has this thing that's put stickers all over your face. And so I put that on, and I put like the future is here with AR, or tweeted something, you know, somewhat snarky. But that stuff was, I just was not super impressed with that. Most of the money that's being invested in AR and where people are, where there are big bets, are company. Yeah, there you go. You got it. People are making investments and making bets on AR is the stuff that can really be useful, right? Training, surgeons sharing stuff through surgery, even up to down to the sort of consumer level of, you know, you've seen Pokemon Go, but Pokemon Go also, you know, was a service that was getting people to move around. It was getting people to make friends. It was getting, it was a great opportunity for places to get more foot traffic, which if you're a retail organization of any kind is the number one thing that you want. And so, it's a huge opportunity for Facebook to take advantage of that because they know more about people. They know more about events. They know more about businesses than anybody. They have more of a, you know, a yellow page and white pages kind of listing than anybody, but they didn't talk about any of that kind of stuff. And either that part is still embryonic and they don't want to maybe play their hand yet. But I was not impressed with them just showing like, look, we're going to let you put stickers. We're going to let you take this selfie and you can fill the room up with balls behind you in, you know, virtual balls to fill up the room or fill up the room with water. And yeah, that stuff didn't impress me much at all. So I kind of think that this shows that they're really, really early in this. They wanted to do something that was a little bit flashy and looked good in a keynote or a demo. But I wonder how ready or serious they are about the things that about with AR that are going to really make a difference and that are worth getting excited about.
Serenity, of course, Apple is supposedly, and I know Tim Cook said this numerous times, also all in on AR. I mean, the only company really doing AR right now, I guess, is Microsoft with the HoloLens. And then there's smaller companies. We actually had one on yesterday on the new screensavers demoing similar stuff. But we don't really know what Apple's up to because Apple's so secretive. Do you think this is the year of Apple and AR?
I'm still hesitant on whether or not Apple's AR project is going to come to fruition this year or if it's more of a long, you know, a long game. I think it makes sense for pretty much any company who is interested in doing technology to focus on augmented reality and just in general, finding a way to make the layer between real life and what we can do with the internet more seamless, right? Where it's the watch and wearable technology is one step of this, and AR is the sort of the next step. Is like, how do we allow people to interface with their tech and also still exist in the real world? And that, you know, of course, brings up all kinds of ethical questions in terms of, you know, like, is it okay if I'm pretending to look at you, but my contacts are secretly showing me emails? Like, there's societal mm-hmm. questions to be asked, but we already do that. It's just a lot more obvious now. It's, you know, if I'm ignoring you to read Twitter, it looks like this.
Yeah, you can kind of tell. You could tell even if you can't see somebody. You know, everybody's had this experience. You're talking to somebody on the phone, and it's really obvious that they're reading their Twitter feed.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So good.
Uh-huh. We all have seen that. We've all experienced that.
Yeah.
Owen, use Snap? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I just don't see anyone coming up with the right solution, short of Elon Musk talking about his, you know, plan to put chips in brains. There's really not a good wearable solution right now for AR. And I think that Apple has to conquer that and conquer the technology problem. I mean, the HoloLens is a great idea in theory, but that's, again, the HoloLens is still pretty much a prototype phase, right? It's not, you know, it's not something where you're like, yes, this is here. The future is existing and in a compact way that I can take wherever I go. And until we get that down, we have failed attempts like Google Glass. So I don't see Apple coming out with AR until they're absolutely ready to have the right product.
I'm playing with...
Sorry, go ahead, Leo.
I'm just playing right now with what Facebook claims is their wildly innovative AR feature. And it's Snapchat.
Can we just stop for a second again with all this junk? I mean, Jason, you sat there with that. I love you, man. But that was a long soliloquy of potential great escapes to get back to this is still junk and it doesn't matter. I mean, you said all the potential great things in the world. But until we can do that, until you can show me that functionality, this is basically I'm just trying to be Snapchat. I'm trying to have some cookie cutter filters and some mochiata laka chattes and a shark coming up on a table. And who gives a who, Ann or Annie? It's cute, fuzzy stuff. The only thing I appreciate about this stuff is that it pushes technology forward so that maybe in 30 years we can actually have some futuristic wearables.
But wait a minute.
AR that matters. I mean, come on. Like, you got a cat on your face, and that's the coolest thing we do.
No,
we
look, watch. Out
of look, our mouth
look,
and
look.
Sharks on a table.
Zoom in on this. This is awesome. Watch. I'm chewing a carrot.
Eating a virtual carrot. Yeah, yeah.
An endless virtual carrot.
For AR.
I used to have my daughter's rabbit ears that she took on my guest, and I had antlers. I can just put ears on my head, bro. Like, it's not that serious. And I do that. I do that doofy stuff with little children, too.
No, I see you using Snapchat. I see you using it.
I just told you I do it, but it's not anything important. It's frivolous stuff. So when you show me a doctor doing some surgery or looking at the veins.
Well, that's what Jason was saying. That's what Serenity was saying.
He said it, but I want to see it. When I see somebody doing that, then I can believe it.
All right, I have two different takes on this. On the one hand, it does feel like Facebook is like the old Microsoft, you know, predatory monopoly. When they were threatened by Instagram, they bought them for $1 billion. When they were threatened by WhatsApp, a messaging app, they bought them for $24 billion. They tried to buy Snapchat. They couldn't buy Snapchat. And so what are they doing? Their response, just like Microsoft, is, well, then we'll put all of the features of Snapchat in Messenger and Instagram. And kill them and eat them alive. And so that's the cynical point of view. And so this big announcement on AR is, you know, not really that. It's just, you know, a cover-up, icing on the cake of let's clobber Snapchat. I also would say as long as I'm going to be on the negative side, and I'll do the positive. But I would also say if you're a developer at this point, to trust Facebook as a platform, that's a shaky-ass platform. I mean, how many people built games for Facebook and then got clobbered? How many people built bots for Facebook? Well, bots aren't the new thing. Now it's filters. I would be very nervous about going all in. I mean, Facebook's where all the people are, so people are going to do it. But look at all the publishers who have abandoned instant articles. Now that we've learned The Guardian has joined the New York Times and said, we're not going to publish to Facebook's instant articles anymore because there's no way to monetize it. Facebook's not sharing their revenue. I feel like, so that's the negative. On the positive side, I do feel like augmented reality is going to be a world-changing technology. And a lot of times when technologies are new, they are, you know, the game room. They are silly. They are trivial.
They look a little terrible. Yeah.
And they don't work very well because they're brand new.
Again, laying the groundwork for the future, but I'm just saying, whatever.
Whatevs.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And so Apple, I think, is probably watching this very closely, I would guess, and saying, all right, well, let's see what the reaction is to what Mark announced.
I think the challenge is, like, I just would have liked to see some vision from them of, like, here's our vision of what AR is going to do, right? If Apple does it, that's what we're going to see. They're going to hold the big shiny thing up and say, like, this is the amazing world-changing thing that our thing is going to do, right? And some of it will be based on fiction. Some of it will be based on smoke and mirrors. But they'll at least show us something, right? I think Facebook was like, AR is going to change the world, and here's stickers. Right. You know, it was
The limitation of the hardware right now. I mean, I suspect if Apple does announce something this year, Serenity, it will be based on the new iPhone and the camera. Yeah. And it'll end up being very much like what Snapchat and Facebook are doing.
Jason, you're out there giving a lot of credit to a company who hasn't done any magic or innovation in the last 4 years. You're giving a lot of credit to them saying, we have a thinner, lighter cat face.
But Owen, we have faith. We Apple believers have faith. We know Steve Jobs is going to get up out of that grave, and he's going to transform the world one more. He's going to get up and say one more thing.
You have faith. In the Seaport, no headphone jack. iPhone 7 is just an iPhone 6 Plus. You have faith in an iMac Pro consumer box that isn't a pro unit anymore. What kind of faith do you have? These people, they better come out with some of this iPhone 10 because Apple's just right now.
I have faith that they will tell a better story about it. I'm saying that Facebook did not tell a very good story about what this thing is. Yeah, cat face is not a good story to me. And all of the stickers and stuff was not a good story. It was just like, we're a ripoff of Snapchat. And by the way, you know, they kind of already rolled this out on Instagram, you know, months ago, and Instagram's been doing great fighting Snapchat. And so it felt like, okay, you know, we know that none of you, you know, over 30 people are into either of those apps. So guess what? We're going to deliver it to you too on Facebook, on our big app. So, but that did not feel like a real great AR vision. Now their chief scientist too, to on day two, where they do their sort of big vision thing, Their chief scientist came out and poured a lot of cold water on this and said, look, for there to be affordable glasses that aren't putting a computer on your face, where they just look like glasses, where they, you know, have storage, they're high res, they, you know, have great imagery. He's like, it's at least 5 years. We're not going to see really good hardware AR glasses for at least 5 years.
Well, that's what Microsoft says. Yeah. They say 20... Not next year, but the year after, 2019, when we had yesterday on the new screensavers, we had MetaVision on. They have a developer edition that's a third the cost of HoloLens. And they, even though that's pretty mature and I like it, it's full, it's 90 degree view instead of 45 degree view. You're not looking through a mail slot. They say it's a couple of three, maybe more years off. So this is, let me be positive because we've been in a, let's face it, a little bit of a doldrum for the last few years. Technology, you know, the smartphone is as good as it's really, let's be honest, going to get. It's fins from now on and chrome bumpers. It's some, you know, it's something to get people buying it, but it's not going to be a big, because it's good. It's peak. It's good. It's done. PCs, ditto. Technology, we're at a plateau. And so I think, as a technology buff, and maybe even as a journalist, maybe more as a buff, I'm excited about how machine learning and augmented reality are going to, I think, in the next 5 years, change things. They are going to get us out of this doldrums.
Absolutely. And you can already see.
Agree.
You can already see that happening with the VR sets that have been coming out over the last couple of years. You know, the HTC 5, the PlayStation VR, the Oculus Rift, none of those are at the point where you're going to get Joe Schmo walking in and buying them off the street and being like, oh, wow, I love my VR headset. They're still wired. They're heavy. But they have the promise and the potential, right? Where it's, I think everybody on this call has probably tried one or two, and like there's a game called Super Hot on the HTC Vive that completely mind bends the idea of like what a first person shooter can look like. It plays with time and movement, and it's like that. Those are the kind of games and the kind of simulations that get me excited about like, oh, people are actually kind of peering into the window.
I'm writing that down. I want to play that Super Hot. Okay.
Super Hot. Oh, it's so much fun. Super hot. Yeah, super.
As I sound negative, I did end up saying, as I like the fact that this is going to push technology forward and we're going to get things out of this. And the same thing with the PlayStation or VR. Yeah, it's cool to be in that realm, but at the same time, when you're in it for a long period of time, it's just different than just playing a video game and just playing it the regular way you're playing it. I mean, you're already in an immersive world, as it were. It's just not around your face and you're not disconnected. I mean, we're sitting in a chair. You can't really move around. And yes, there's some places there's going to be systems where you can run through a foam obstacle thing. And that's cool. But again, just progressing the technology forward. But as far as like looking at it, like when Facebook's like had the little stations where people look like cartoons, I'm like, oh, so we're going to do Second Life on my Facebook now, and I'm supposed to be excited? Like, really?
Yeah, it's really? It's a cartoon, the next...
Second, like, I mean, that was 10, 12 years ago. What am I supposed to be excited for looking at that? Like, ooh, Second Life. I gave up
this
on that.
This feels
a decade
really
ago.
Nerdy. This is the Facebook Spaces they've released as a beta.
Does.
We're going to bring
so
in.
Bad.
In order to do
no,
this.
Second Life was Second my Life. First thought, too.
In order to Second do Life, this, everybody.
Same thing. I thought Second Life was the first thing I thought of. It's like, so we're doing Second Life in VR?
Yeah, but
VR?
In
like,
order
why?
To do this, you need a $1,500 computer, a $700 right. Oculus Rift plus Touch, another $100. A great internet connection.
You need a $300 computer and an old boot up a Second Life. That's all you need. And you can sell them shops.
It looks really nerdy. And then they've got Mark in there with Hugo Barra. And they're, And I thought, part of my problem with it is you're going to feel really like you're constrained. You go, let me paint. And it's not going to be, I mean, real life is so fluid. And you're going to feel like you're in this weird partial life.
The thing that really annoys me about Facebook's announcements is that there are things that you could very clearly showcase as here's where we think it's going to go. And also here's a platform. Like one of the things that I really think will change with AR and VR in the next 5-10 years is learning and education, right. Especially in places where like, I mean, obviously no kid in Africa is going to be able to get a $1,700 computer and a Oculus VR. But as those things go down in price, I could definitely see, you know, your community library, right? Having a headset and you can go on it for like a couple hours and like learn these specific, very hyper specific skills, right? The concept of going to college or even med school, right? Learning classes about neurology and actually being able to go virtually inside the brain and like pull it apart and converse with other people around that and being able to like physically move these models. Like these are all amazing aspects. And it's one of the reasons why Microsoft's HoloLens pitch felt a lot more solid. Is it's like, you can play Minecraft in AR, but also let's talk about how it's actually going to change people's lives. And like you said, Jason, like that's what I think where Apple is really strong is not only do they tell a better story, but I do think that they're genuinely committed, you know, maybe not with the iPhone because it's the, you know, it's the consumer product, but you look at the iPad Pro and the stories they're starting to tell there, but specifically like the Apple Watch, all of the investment that they've put into the health and research team, like they're not just doing that. That's not the kind of stuff that makes like everyday money. That's the kind of stuff that genuinely can hugely affect somebody's life and maybe make a little bit money while you're at it. But studies how we move, you know, the human race forward. They're not how you come out with bundles of cash cackling.
And if you're talking about a product today in the earliest stages, it might just be, you know, Facebook filters and weird virtual reality. By the way, Owen, the chat room says, clearly you haven't been in Second Life recently. So I thought I'd show you this trailer. This is Second Life 2017. Okay, it's not your grandpa's Second Life. Let me tell you.
You know what happened since I saw this commercial? You know a song just played in my mind? Baby, come back. I want to put a Second Life on you. Dude. Baby, come back. Are we
it really does need
to get back in Second
it
Life.
It needs a little player, doesn't
it? Oh, my
it?
Goodness.
I got a dog. We can have dogs. Oh, it's over, B. It's over. I'm making a psychedelic dog park.
Here's the music Second Life put behind this trailer.
This is a 3-minute trailer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yo. I need that.
Yo.
Oh,
Second
dear
Life.
Lord.
Serenity, remember, now we got to get a boosted up computer. I think I need a one of them Ryzen.
Yeah. There were countries were putting their embassies in Second Life.
I'm pretty sure you could run this on a Raspberry Pi.
You probably could.
Oh, yeah.
Countries
you
are putting.
You better stop and sell Second Life,
businesses
girl.
Were putting their brands in Second Life.
I used to
you
make
run
money
this on an Android phone. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I used to make money on Second Life, B. There was mad stuff going on Second Life. I used to make straight cash.
Did you? Were you one of those people? Were you a Second Life like realtor?
I was up in there making clothes. Then I started flipping into real estate. My buddy got catfished on Second Life.
What?
He flew all the way to Louisiana. It was crazy. Second Life was crazy, man. I was out there making that guap. You know what I mean? Got to do it.
I didn't know that you were a big Second Lifer.
Incognito. I wasn't a big time Second Life. I just found out you can make money on there, and I was like, oh, let me go find out.
Let's play your song here while we watch the Second Life trailer. Let me just find it here. I think this is going to work much better than the music that they offered. Let's turn off the Second Life music.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. This is so much better.
This is a music video. This
works. So much better. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it now.
The mermaids are moving to the music?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if they probably made this with that music and then they realized they couldn't release it that way.
This is so much better. Spending all my nights on my
money going out on time. It's perfect. Doing anything just to get you over my mind. It matches. If you aren't watching the video of Twit today, you better check out this. I might do a remix.
We got to do it. You got an army over there. Have somebody mix this up for us.
So 80s, baby. Here we go, everybody. Second Life loves you. We miss you. Oh, my God. It fits perfectly.
Wow.
Wow, they're even dancing to it.
This is like... This just shows like how genius human beings can be, you know.
Oh, I mean, the genius would be O'Doctor.
The genius is O'Doctor. You picked the right song for that, man. We got to get you editing videos.
That's beautiful. Bravo.
That's awesome. Bravo.
That was amazing.
It kind of worked just right.
Too well.
Wow.
I might do the remix. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Microsoft's having a hardware event, which is all – it's actually interesting because this is, I think, the continuation of what they did with their Windows anniversary event last year where they really started talking about 3D, Windows holographic. This is what this is all leading to. They want kids in schools to start learning these skills because I think Microsoft sees augmented reality as the future of Windows. Apple sees it as the future of iOS. Facebook sees it as the future of their camera. It's all changing. And I want to be positive. I want to be a little bullish and say this in 5 years or 10 years, we're going to be looking back and saying, maybe, wow, this really did happen. Or maybe we'll.
Yeah, I think we will, Leah. I mean, I think you're right. Like my colleague, Larry Dignan, he always says, when you look at it, the cynics always sound more logical. And it's right. True. Like we we do a lot of, all of us here do it, and it's part of our job to look at things with a critical eye. And right. And that. But that said, I've seen some pretty good examples of augmented reality that give me a taste of, you know, where it could be. Companies like Epson and ODG that have done some really interesting things already in sort of the commercial space and industrial space. I've seen a taste of what it could do. They're too big and clunky and heavy and slow and all of that right now. But you can see it. Can see it.
It's coming. By the way, thanks to Mashable, they actually, and somebody in the chat room pointed me to this, have the hot new technology for gamers today. It's not augmented. It's not virtual. It's the wipe designed for gamers who like to eat while they play. They can wipe their Cheeto fingers off on a little mop that sits next to their computer.
Hashtag innovation.
Hashtag this is the future of technology. The wipe. There you go.
Oh, man. Uh-huh. That's great.
Our show today, not brought to you by The Wipe or Second Life or Facebook Spaces, but by Audible. We love Audible. We love audiobooks. I know, Jason, you're a big audio fan, Audible book fan.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Actually, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Jason's kicking my ass in Words with Friends, and I think it's because you read a lot.
Maybe
you are.
Maybe. I also just got a lucky streak.
Oh,
I think
was
mostly.
I have five more letters left. I'm trying to figure out a way I can make 200 points with a 5-letter play, and I haven't found that yet. I'm dead.
Cues do you have?
No, it's over, man. It's over. Jason, like, what? I should show you the game because he really
this one was a lucky streak.
No, it's the second time he's kicked my butt. Anyway,
now the first one was really close. We had a really.
I came back
close
at the
game.
End, and you only won by a few points. You were beating me the whole game.
It's all the layers.
UFW, nothing. I can't do anything.
No.
Yeah, you can't build that into a word.
I'm dead meat. Yeah. Yeah. What was Jason's?
Layered boards.
Jason's.
That's how you do it.
Look at how it started. 64 points his first word, 28 points, 20, 46 points, 20 points. Yeah, nerd. 28 points, nerd. 48 yeah. points. Oh, my God. It was just terrible. Anyway, our show today brought to you by Audible. If you read more books, you'll play better Scrabble. Right? Go to Audible and sign up for our Gold Plus One plan. It'll get you 2 free books and a 30-day free trial if you go to audible.com/twit2. I went on a bit of an Audible binge yesterday because we're going to be traveling. So I went out and I bought books about the places we're going. This is one of the things I really like about Audible is, of course, I read fiction and nonfiction and, I read science fiction and stuff like that. But Audible... Also, before I go on traveling, I will get books from Audible. Here's about places I'm going to go. This is, I'm going to South America, and I'm going to Machu Picchu and the Galapagos, and I'm reading. Somebody said you got to read, if you're going to the Galapagos, Kurt Vonnegut's novel about kind of a sci-fi novel written from a million years in the future called Galapagos. So this is one of the things you can do that's just awesome. And Audible, by the way, is re-recording all of Kurt Vonnegut. I love Kurt Vonnegut. And the Audible Studios, they've brought in some of the best readers to take all of his books and re-record them. So if you're a fan of Vonnegut, if you haven't read any Vonnegut, you've got to. Some of the best stuff ever. What are you reading, Jason? I know you had a lot of flying and travel lately. What were you reading?
Yeah, my Audible recommendation is this book called California, A History.
Oh.
Which I come to California all the time, right? And realized I know very little about it. And I was just looking for something this last time when I was traveling last week. And it was one of those where I listened to the sample and I was like, okay, this could be really boring, you know, especially you look at the cover, you look at the title, it's pretty big.
Okay, but it's not.
I hit play and listened to the sample, which I always do.
Very important.
And it got to the end of the sample, and I was like, "Oh, I want more." Yeah. And so I was like, "Okay, yeah, that's one to buy."
Every book on Audible, you can listen ahead of time. You can also read reviews, which I find very useful to find out whether this is going to be a great book, whether you like the reader. They have such a great selection. It's kind of basically the bookstore. Look at this. Lewis Black has a new comedy series on Audible. That's interesting.
Nice.
I didn't know they did that kind of thing. The Rant is Due. I like that. An unlimited supply of great audio entertainment. The new Neil Gaiman, Norse Mythology, read by Neil himself. And he really is good. He is a great, great reader. I'll tell you what. We're going to get you 2 books. All you have to do is go to audible.com/twit. You get 2 free audiobooks. Well, you get 2 credits, and then you get a book credit per month. So it's kind of a nice way to start. You get 2 right up front, and then another credit every month. Plus, you also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. This offer is good in the U.S. or Canada, but if you're if you're listening to our shows in other countries, and how many of you do, Audible's everywhere. So just check out the Audible in your country. See what offers they have. Audible.com/twit and the number 2. Audiobooks are a blessing for anybody who spends
on
time
on Audible.
Yeah.
It's Bob the best. Geeks also on Audible.
Oh, how could I not forget? How could Sorry. I forget? Your book is on Audible, of course.
I read it too. So that may be a plus or a minus, but just, you know, it is there.
Yeah, Lindsay.
Leo's chapter number 9. Leo is also the sample chapter. So if you listen to the sample chapter,
really?
you can hear it is. That's a fact.
Let's hear it. Can you hear my audio?
Kate fingers dug deep into Leo Laporte's arm as she yanked him to a halt in a parking lot in Las Vegas.
Oh, I'll never forget that moment, but you're going to have to listen to find out what happened next.
It sounds like you just got kidnapped at a parking lot in Las Vegas.
Could be.
I mean, could you be. Never know.
How about William Shatner talking about Leonard Nimoy?
Many wonderfully talented people who never got the right opportunity.
I love William.
Often, it's simply a matter of being in the right place at the right time, having some often undefined...
He pauses way.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't it be...
That's him in a nutshell.
Yeah. Don't you want to have Shatner in your car as you commute? I love it. audible.com/twit and the number 2. We've been an Audible podcast since the beginning, I think. Other things Facebook announced, Apple Music and Spotify coming to Facebook Messenger. Serenity, you've got to explain this one to me.
Okay, so from what I understand, it's just very similar to what Apple currently has put into Messages, which is if you put a link in, it'll expand it so you can actually play it from Facebook Messenger.
So you're not going to have a conversation saying, hey, Facebook, what's a great song for a good mood time?
I think Apple might have the monopoly on that with Siri. Like, they might get pretty angry about that. I think that it's just going to be basically widgets. So it's like the Spotify widget or the Apple Music widget. If you're planning, I'm like, Leo, you know what? You've got to hear this amazing song by The Who. Here's this song. You know, it's called The Seeker. Have you heard of it? And then it allows you to, or have you actually heard it? You can just play it from right in there.
So I get it. I should have read this more carefully or watched the conversation more carefully. This isn't a bot. I thought it was going to be like an Apple Music bot or a Spotify bot where you talk to it. It's what they call chat extensions. And I think you nailed it. It's just like in Apple's Messages. Okay. It gives you
the bot stuff. They are doing some cool stuff with the bots, though, to give them credit. And I talked to a couple developers. I have a video on this on Tech Republic with a couple developers who help people develop shopping bots. And they said, these two developers talked about the fact that they work on all the big platforms for bots. And they said Facebook is really ahead of the other ones that they work with in terms of the technology they've enabled, the APIs and all of that. And they developed this bot, for example, that launched the day that they announced this with a retailer, Rue 21. And this is a shopping bot where you like have a picture and you say, look, I want to get a dress like this. For example, the demo that these guys showed me was a prom dress.
We're really excited to...
Oh, sorry, I was playing your video. Go ahead.
That's okay. And so, you can show the demo if you want, but it is one of those things where you can essentially text your friends and say, look, I'm thinking about this dress or this dress or this dress, vote. And so then your friends can vote on which one, send it back to you, right? And then the bot can say, can go out and find, you know, the places that you can buy that, and then can also suggest accessories that, you know, might go with it and that kind of thing. So it's a fashion advisor or you know, that kind of thing.
See, consultant. That makes sense. Because then it's social, and it's not, the bot is a part of a larger conversation.
Yeah, the bot's like filling in the gaps for you. The bot's not, you're not talking to the bot. The bot's like doing the hard stuff to where you're not like having to jump into URLs and paste them and all of that kind of stuff.
That makes a lot more sense, because it's a bot to help you buy something is so much less efficient than just going to a website and clicking a link that I don't understand the value of it. I thought maybe they're trying to get millennials, because millennials are more comfortable with using chat apps. You know, they live in Snapchat or Facebook Hopes Messenger, and so that was a better interface for them. But it's not that. It's still social. It's just chatting with other people. But the bot is, at least at this bot, and I would guess any well-designed bot, is contributing to a conversation between humans.
Okay, yeah, so it's streamlining the bits.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So what is Apple doing here? Because I know Spotify has a free service, so when somebody sends me a song, I pay for Apple Music, and I can listen to the song on Spotify. Apple doesn't have that, so what are they going to get, like a snippet, 30 seconds of the song?
I wonder if they'll do the 90 seconds that they do with the iTunes Store, you know?
You know, most pop songs, 90 seconds is more than enough.
Yeah, you're going to know in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not, I mean, sometimes it's just about, you just want to hear the song.
Right.
I understand, but again, they don't have when somebody sends me something on Spotify, I know that if I click it, 99% of the time I can just listen to the song. So if they're like, listen to the song, you might like it. Now I got to listen to the song, decide if I like it, and then figure out if I'm paying for it or doing something with it. So that's the thing that Apple still annoys me with.
The useful thing to do would be to say, oh, I see you're not an Apple Music subscriber, but you do have Spotify. Here's the song on Spotify. Now that would be cool.
Or they say, we see you probably have Spotify. Let us give you this whole song to listen to for free. And then you come pay us money.
I mean, if Apple was smart, they'd say, look, you get five songs for free a month or something, the way, like, you know, some of these paywalls and stuff do. And then after that, you know, you have to pay, but they'll let you, they'll let you get a listen in, you know?
Right. Yeah. You can get like five songs that'll just play and you don't have to worry about it. Or if your friends are really smart, they'll just send you to YouTube version of the song.
Right.
Go watch the video. But
let me ask
something's wrong with my mic.
It may be
wrong with my mic.
Let me ask you, though, because I bet Leia may not be old enough, but my daughter, when she was roughly, you know, junior high school, she would listen to the radio. She couldn't listen for more than 30 seconds to any song. She would change it every 30 seconds. And I noticed her friends did the same thing. They didn't listen to the whole song.
There's something in your water, and those kids have ADD. When I play music in my car, and
she listens to the whole song?
I've got five kids in my car, and literally, like, one, my radio is really loud, so the kids love it. But we play all the songs, and the only thing that they do is they do request songs because they love me talking to Siri to bring a song. They think I'm like the magic man. They're like, they get in my car, and they're like, I bet your dad has this song. Play the song. And I'm like, Siri, play the song. And they're like, your dad's amazing. And I'm like, I know.
Wow.
I got the magic in me.
Is there anything you can't do? What are they listening to these days? What's the hot...
They're listening to a song called Rolex, and I love embarrassing my daughter because they have, like, those musically dances. And the song says, I just want a roly, roly, roly with a dab of ranch. I already got some designer to put up my paints. And I think and then they all shrink down in the seats, and nobody sees us, and I roll all the windows down. And I
want some ice on my wrist so I look better when I dance. Have you looking at it, put you in a trance. I just
want a
roly, roly, roly with a dab of ranch.
Do it over and over again. They'll listen to them musically 90,000 times in a row and drive you up a wall. That's the ADD thing they do.
Yeah.
Listen to musically clips of something for 15 seconds 1,000 times over and over.
Yeah, I see that too.
Yeah.
So they listen to their songs.
That was Ayo and Teo and Roly, Roly, Roly.
Rolex.
Rolex.
The Dabber Ranch.
When they say dab, are they talking the dance dab?
They're dabbing, yes. That's why I just embarrassed my children.
Ren knows how to dab.
Yes, I do it fully on purpose.
Okay, what else? Let's wrap up F8. Oh, you know, and this is on a more serious note. Of course, about the worst thing that could happen to a brand had just happened to Facebook. It happened actually as we were doing Twit last week. The Facebook killer, just how Facebook would love you to brand this. Very sad story. Wasn't live video on Facebook, but a guy posted a murder he committed and then posted a live video talking about it. Of course, he was apprehended. It occurred in Cleveland, and he was apprehended later. But the timeline, Facebook's released the timeline of this, and they've gotten some heat about, I don't see how Facebook prevents this, right? But they've gotten some heat about the timing. So the video was uploaded at 11:09 a.m. and not reported. Maybe he didn't have a lot of followers. A couple of minutes later, he did another video. First video was saying, I'm going to kill somebody. Second video was him killing somebody. Horrible. Then 11 minutes after that, he did a Facebook live stream for 5 minutes saying, I did it. Still not reported. The first report, according to Facebook, was 11:27. So 20 minutes later. And I'm sorry. The live video is reported shortly after. The video of the shooting wasn't reported till almost 1 in the afternoon. So almost 2 hours later. And then 23 minutes later, Facebook disables the account and pulls down the videos. I have to say, given the scale of what Facebook's up to, that doesn't seem unreasonable. It does it to you?
I instantly was angry, and then I was like, stop it. Because no matter what, your knee-jerk reaction is, you should do better than that. But then again, I think to myself, again, the thing is, how many people are following him? And how many people even thought that this wasn't real?
Right.
That's the other issue, because I have people, you know, somebody sent me a video, a Taliban thing, and I was like, that's not real. That's fake. Stop sending that around to people. So you don't really know what's going on per se. And so I fully am understanding and the process and the time period that that went on. And also
everybody's vulnerable to this. Google is. Yes. Twitter is. It's a big place, the internet. It doesn't, because somebody can do this, doesn't mean Facebook is endorsing it.
And to be honest, the small group of friends or family, whoever he had, might not even realize to report, because most people don't ever report a video ever.
Right.
Sometimes when you ask somebody to report a video, that how do you do that? Where do I got to go to report it? So it's a whole thing to do. So I'm understanding of that 2-hour process, and Lord knows how many videos get uploaded to Facebook at a time. Unless it's got copyright music in the back, they're not going to look at it for forever. So
the only critique you could make is that at 11:09 he said, "I'm going to kill somebody," and 2 minutes later he did.
But did he write that in a caption or something? That's scrapable?
Yeah. How are they going to know?
I'm going to kill someone. And like, what? You know what I mean?
Facebook.
What are they supposed to do with that?
Facebook did say that they got additional reports since this press release, but none of the reports came in before the events. So, yeah. I mean, and I don't know how they would prevent it. I don't feel like Facebook's done worse than they could do, although they say we've taken this seriously and we're going to do it. And Mark himself got on stage and said, we're going to do a lot more here. It seemed appropriate, Jason, what Mark said and did. Some people complained that he joked that he did some dad jokes about Fast and Furious first.
Yeah, I think he did that to kind of lighten things up and you know, clearly
it was a serious thing.
Three jokes to start with.
Yeah.
And then he did acknowledge it. I think I didn't expect them to acknowledge it, to be honest. I think most people were surprised when he did acknowledge it. So I, you know, for that sense, I tip my hat to them. I mean, he said the right things.
If you're a brand,
said they take it serious.
Yeah, you got to do this, I think. You can't ignore it. I think he did the right thing.
Agree.
And everybody's vulnerable to this. I mean, this is what happens when you do live video. And you know, Facebook's learning, as we all are, that, you know, you can celebrate what the internet brings to democracy, gives everybody a voice, but that they're bad people. And it also gives them a voice. And it's kind of, you can't have one without the other. I don't want to.
There's no way to really fix that. We've seen assassinations live on TV and things like that that happen.
It's kind of horrible, but
the things happen. So they're doing the best they can. I'll accept that from Facebook on this one.
Yeah.
There's no gross negligence here.
Right.
Yes. Which is what we don't want, right? We don't want to see any kind of gross negligence where they just don't care or they treat their customers badly repeatedly and you know, are callous to it. I'm sorry. We're not talking about Uber. Sorry.
We could talk about Uber. It seems like every week there's a new, you know, revelation on Uber.
Man, oh, man.
It just, it never stops. In fact, this morning on, or this afternoon on Tech Meme, Mike Isaac for the New York Times talks about Uber's CEO plays with fire. This is something that's been in the works for a while, but a description of his early years and how at one point Tim Cook said, "I heard you've been breaking some of our rules. Stop the trickery," he demanded, "or Uber's app would be kicked out of Apple's App Store." So apparently what had been happening was Kalanick had been telling Uber employees to hide the ride-hailing app from Apple's engineers so that Apple would not find out that Uber had been secretly identifying and tagging iPhones even after its app had been deleted and the devices erased.
Yep.
This was in early 2015. What?
Can we just say that Uber is like the worst? Like, it really is the worst. Like,
every week there's another story. I don't
really is.
It's literally the service of the devil. It promises you goodness that you kind of need, but at the same time, you're selling your soul and you're going to end up in hell for using the service in the first place. I hate Uber. I hate everything about Uber. I got so many friends that have invested in Uber, and you watch them tweeting, and they trying to save Uber's life. But Uber, delete is a thing, and it's real. And every step they take, I feel like they don't have a colored person on their board. They don't have a woman on their board. All they got is red dudes in suits with horns on their head making all these stupid decisions. And it's retarded. I mean, for Pete's sake, just look, Just hire me for a week to follow you around the office, Uber. I'll make sure everything's okay. Y'all
but haven't they done that? I mean, they've
no, they haven't. They hired other monkeys and stuff doing dumb stuff too, and nobody can check them. They're all yes men. They get in there and they look at these dudes.
They hired Eric Holder, the former attorney general, to investigate. Well, right? I mean,
the thing is, Holder is a good investigate is not the same as change, right? No. Where they can make all the assurances about, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And it's great. They can get to the bottom of this. They can figure out exactly where it went wrong and what HR people, you know, weren't reporting harassment and various other things. But at the end of the day, what happens from there? Eric Holder can come to Uber and basically be like, half your company's toxic. You need to fire these people and you need to restructure these things. And then they go, great, Eric Holder, thank you. And they pay him lots of money. And then they don't do anything with this information.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not saying that's actually what happens, but
it sounds legit to me. I'll co-sign on that. I'll just put that on me. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. I say what you say is real. I mean, and then talk about the slave labor of the people working for Uber that are trapped in this toxic society of working for this monkey check week to week, and their car's falling apart because they're doing all these jobs. They keep shrinking down the pay and telling them, and then they won't let them take tips. And then you got to go and deal with Lyft. And Lord knows Lyft is not great at all, but at least they have decent human beings. So you say to yourself, I'm going to try. With the mustache, even though you know it's not that great, but you try anyway. I hate Uber.
I think I got that.
Okay. Just so we know. I think got me all upset.
They're so rotten to the core. You know, it's like they are completely amoral in the way
they approach everything.
But this is a product everybody
wants and uses, and I know there was a big delete Uber movement, but I don't.
Oh, sorry about that.
Travis Kalanick on line one for you, Mr. Heiner. I don't think that.
I got to call you back. Sorry. Okay.
I don't know if they're going to suffer long-term damage from this. Maybe
delete
they will.
Uber, they may not. Delete Uber's a big deal. They sent out a whole bunch of "I'm sorry, come baby, come back" emails. So I mean, they feel it. They try every time it happens. But the problem is, it keeps happening. And at some point, the lion will get slayed as soon as we get a better substitute. But at this point, they can't make a right decision, and that's not good for business in general. You could be the evil underlord all you want to, but the light is going to come through at some point for Uber.
Right now,
there's too much money tied up into it. They've got too much backing from powerhouse people that sit there. Good people sit there, and they're like, well, I got stock. I've invested money, so I got to say this. Uber sucks all around.
Like, you've deleted Uber.
I deleted Uber.
You know, so this reminds me of what happened after the United kerfuffle of last week, and maybe what happened after Samsung's Note 7 debacle. So there's three companies, Samsung, United, and Uber, that have all had, you know, active protests and boycotts. But somebody pointed out to me, you know, the minute you need to take United Airlines, or the minute you're stranded downtown in New York City and you have to take an Uber, or the minute the Samsung Galaxy S8 comes out, all will be forgotten and forgiven. The people are going to always go for convenience. They're not going to hold this against you.
How's Uber working out in Austin?
Well, I'll tell you, the people were down there. I don't know if you went down, Jason, but the people were down there were kind of mad that there was no Uber and Lyft in Austin.
They were mad, but guess what? They still didn't have it.
Yeah, and they had to use the local ride-sharing services, which didn't work perfectly. And
like I said, it's the devil. It's dancing with the devil. You want to do it, you got to do it, but you don't feel good about it.
Somebody in the chat room says, Lenny says, I drive for Uber every day, extra $1,000 a month, game changer.
Like I said, they keep you in the system.
I talk to drivers. Whenever I take an Uber or Lyft, I honestly have not deleted the app, because there are times when I do have to use it because it's either the only option or by far the best option. I tend to use Lyft more. But I always talk to the drivers and I ask them, like, how long have you been driving? You know, how much money you make? Is it, you know, do you do this full time? You do it part time? And just kind of ask them about it, just because I've been fascinated by the whole thing, because it is interesting, the whole, the way it is changed the economics, of this, both for people who are getting rides and, you know, given this new opportunity for some other people, who, you know, find that this is one of the options that they have now that they didn't have before. And ultimately that can be a good thing. A lot of them talk very positively, about it, with obviously clear exceptions. They don't want to badmouth it. They don't want to take it back to the company. So they're kind of incented not to air their dirty laundry. But some of them are just more candid people than others. And so
I wonder. You know, I mean, we live in an era now where everybody's wired. Everybody's got, you know, watching Twitter. Outrages come in big waves, and we're much more aware of them than we were before because of social media. But I wonder, as a result, if we're also less impacted by them in the long run. If the Samsung and United and Uber in a year
desensitized.
Yeah, we're desensitized, right?
Well, there's also different levels to it, okay? So Samsung makes a bad phone. Has anybody ever made a mistake and had something bad happen to them? Yes, you accept that this is a large multi-company. They made a mistake. Now, as far as United is concerned, has anybody ever bashed anybody over the head and dragged them down the aisle after a seat that they paid for? No, there's different levels to how you feel and associate with the product, okay? So when you say they have mistakes and, oh, people are no, there are certain levels of distinctions. Again, Uber is evil, and the general consensus, everybody knows that. Of course, if you ask the driver, he's not going to tell you.
I set my mom up. She's 84. And she lives in a Rhode Island, and she needs to get to the doctor, and sometimes she just want to call my sister who lives nearby to do it. So I said, Mom, I'm going to put Uber on your phone. This was a while ago. I'll put Uber on your phone. And then I've asked her, I said, have you used Uber? She says, no, they rob you. And I don't know where she got that from. I said, Mom,
it was on the news one day where an Uber driver either got robbed or robbed someone. It was one time.
Rob and Uber in the same sentence.
Uber robs people. Yeah. So.
So she won't do it. And it's hard for me. And so there is this impact at some point with all the negative press that people start to be, you know, skeptical of something. I think Samsung's going to sell plenty of Samsung Galaxy S8s.
It's a great phone. It's a great looking phone. It's a nice feeling phone. It looks
good. Are you using it?
The only problem is I'm cracked out on Apple until.
You're a Crapple guy.
The only thing is the fingerprint reader on the back. They should just do what Google did, put the camera up in the corner.
Oh, it's terrible.
And that is the dumbest.
It's the worst possible place. I hit it wrong every time.
That's the worst thing about the phone. But everything else is.
Well, and then the Bixby assistant. See this button? You push this button and you get Bixby. Except you don't.
Could you stop talking about that? Can we stop talking about that?
I'm pressing the Bixby button and nothing's happening. In a minute or two, Bixby will wake up and go, you wanted me?
Well, it's not fully functional yet either, right?
No,
it's
it doesn't do voice recognition. But it doesn't even do. Goodness. You push the button and I launch. There, finally. How long did that take? How long did that?
Oh boy,
a long time. That's not useful.
That's weird. Sometimes I hit the power button and I see the Bixby button come up, and I'm like, why did that happen? It is confusing. Although some of the Bixby features do work, like it does some of the Google Now-ish kind of stuff, right? Where it's
unless
like,
you have an Amazon data. If you have an Amazon phone, I mean a Verizon phone, they turned off the shopping assistant on Bixby.
I'm looking at the manual, and the manual says we're moving on. Not to talk. The first rule of Bixby is you don't talk
about Bixby. I talked to somebody yesterday. Remember, Samsung bought the guys who did Siri, left after Apple bought them and didn't do much with Siri. And the guys started something called Viv, VIV.AI. And then not so long ago, a few months ago, maybe more than that, 6 months ago, Samsung bought them. So I talked to somebody who knows the guy at Viv, and he says, watch. This is not Bixby. Is not Viv. Bixby is not Viv. It's not Viv, and it's clearly not baked. I wonder if Samsung's working on getting Viv in there. Then it would be interesting.
I would be for sure.
Yeah.
So I had a friend who worked at Viv, and the demos that that I've seen. Of course, I mean they showed it off publicly at TechCrunch last year, I believe, before they got bought up by Samsung, and Viv's overall idea of basically we are making a assistant that actually learns and can basically write rudimentary programs itself as it learns how these pathways connect together sounds a little bit, Skynet. But also they have a really, really interesting overarching plan in terms of integrating with everything. And I can imagine Samsung being like, well, we see the potential in this and we need the time to actually layer it up. Because as we can see with Bixby, launching a voice assistant from scratch is not the easiest thing in the world.
No kidding.
So true. I feel like I reviewed it. I had it early and my review went live on Tuesday, and there's a lot I like about this. I was at the launch event too. I was really impressed with it when I saw it there. I just think my biggest complaint with it was what you guys already touched on. The fingerprint scanner doesn't work. The iris scanner also is kind of lame. Those were big disappointments. The only other beef, the biggest thing problem I had with it is Samsung is still trying to duplicate all these services that Google already does well. And it's just a no-win solution for them. I'd rather see them take Bixby and do something like, there's bits of it that are interesting, some augmented reality stuff that really Google has not worked on for a while, where you take pictures of products and images and places, and it's going to, you know, give you some augmented reality kind of information on it. Great. Go ahead and work on that. Find other things that Samsung can do uniquely well. Make it work with televisions, you know, their televisions, maybe even other televisions. I don't know. Like they've done in the past where they've made
a remote. Talk to the CIA about that. I think they figured that out. I think you can make that work.
The big problem why they're doing that is to differentiate from the Google phone now, which is a very sexy phone.
Yeah.
But can we get back to talk about the good stuff about this essay? This phone is sexy. This phone done went out and went into the Apple dress store and said, look what I'm wearing, baby. You know what I mean? This phone, this is a sexy phone. I mean,
it's tall. It's weird and tall, but it feels good. Ugly. Yeah. Beautiful screen.
Ugly girl. Look at this thing. This thing, who would want to date this? Nobody. I tell you what I do in that S8. I can't even put it on Twitter. This is a family show. But that's a good-looking phone right there, bro.
You can lick it.
In my review, I put a picture of it.
My American Express card popped up.
That's hilarious. When you lick it.
That's a big
augmented reality feature right there. Lick the phone and American Express pops up.
What are you trying to tell me?
Licking that that's what it said. You got to pay to play. So there you go.
Wait a minute. I have discovered a new gesture. Look at that.
There you have.
Dear.
It was your finger.
Oh, it just came up again.
It's a new gesture.
You did that. What did you do?
No, I didn't. I swear to God.
Is it going to do it again? Oh, my God. It did it again. That's insane.
We just found a glitch.
Hold on. Let me go get the essay.
Wrong on so many levels.
You just pinch their nose and you wipe the phone on and I start charging up stuff.
Is Bixby saying, would you that be cash or credit? What is Bixby saying?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I do think it's a great phone. It's interesting that Samsung stumbled with such basic things as Bixby and this fingerprint reader, but it is a gorgeous screen. What I really think is, Owen, you're not going to feel bad for too long. This is a forebearer of things to come. Apple's iPhone is going to have a giant full screen, and it's going to be OLED, I think. That's pretty clear. They're buying 100 million screens from Samsung. It's going to be hard to get that. That'll be the top of the line new Apple iPhone, according to all the rumors. Mark Gurman had a great roll up of all the rumors in on Bloomberg this week. My take on this is I feel bad for Google because the Pixel is the best Android phone, but it's butt ugly next to this. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, and it looks like it's two generations back.
It feels
to
like
thing,
the 50s,
know?
Two generations. It's like the phone Fonzie used on Happy Days compared to this. I mean,
I put a picture of the three of them next to each other, the iPhone 7
which is
plus.
Gorgeous. iPhone 7 is the gorgeous. Google,
it is. The and
iPhone
the Google
7
Pixel
is iPhone
XL.
6S. What are you talking about?
And this one in the middle, I put the Galaxy the S8 in the middle, and it makes the two of them look, I mean, my point was that it makes the two of them look like really kind of outdated and clunky next to.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen.
83% of the bezels.
In the future, what you're going to see is all phones. This is the new generation, right? This is what's going to happen is that bezels are gone, and if you buy a new phone, they'll all be bezel free in a year.
Bezel come back.
And it used to be that Apple come back. Would do this, right? It used to be that Apple would do this. Apple would release a phone, and then you knew, like, okay, every phone's going to look like this. And so that's where this is significant, right? Where Samsung has finally kind of beat them to the punch, where now Samsung's releasing the phone, and probably every phone after this is going to look like that, even though Apple's already been working on it, obviously. They're not copying Samsung, but they've been working on something similar. But the fact that Samsung got to the market first with something like this, I think is significant.
I don't know they're not copying Samsung. They could have somebody working at Samsung that Samsung put it out a whole year ahead of them. I don't know that they're not copying. All I know is Apple is falling behind in every aspect of life. Again, MacBook Pro consumer laptop with a touchscreen on the top that nobody touches. Your C port, you done messed up. And you done had the nerve to tell how this iPhone 7 looks good. You are a delusional man. You know what? You're getting up in age and you need more vacations if you're going to tell me that this is a good looking phone. I'll take that plus a Google over to the Pixel.
No. You got to come over and see my iPhone 7 Plus in jet black, no case. Is a very lovely phone.
Beautiful, yeah.
Trying to pitch me on blackness. You know I like black stuff. Don't do that.
By the way, I have a picture of Fonzie with his phone, and it does look just like the Pixel, doesn't it? Actually, Google gets to answer before Apple does. Google will probably do its Pixel 2 before Apple does its 10th iPhone. And I suspect Google will also, this is the new design language. I think Google's Pixel, all the rumors we're hearing about the Pixel will be also,
the Pixel's fingerprint reader has already got it dead to rights on good
much
design.
Much better. This fingerprint reader, that's where you're spoiled.
Yeah, it works
much better.
It works much better.
I bet it's not lickable.
Probably not. I mean that is a bug of bugly standards.
That's weird.
But
that's weird.
It's not a bug. I mean, you know, I can explain it, but go ahead.
What I was going to say is that, you know, that like all of these companies have been working on edge to edge designs for at least 3-4 years.
Yeah, this doesn't come out of nowhere.
No, exactly. But the big thing is, and I mean, this is the big compromise in the S8, right? Where the fingerprint sensor and their, you know, pseudo home button, it isn't ideal. It isn't ideal in any sense. But unfortunately, because fingerprint sensors have, you know, they use camera-based technology, and there's only so much room that you can put camera sensors in the phone, they're like, oh, well, we'll kill two birds with one stone, and we'll have like a whole little camera unit that also has the fingerprint sensor. I honestly think that the main reason why Apple didn't do it with the 7 is that they basically were like, well, if we did this, we would have to compromise and put the fingerprint sensor, you know, in a less than ideal place. And I mean, we've seen the potential schematics of like their.
And the Google camera is amazing, though. The Google camera is a really nice camera, and it's over the corner and the fingerprint in the middle. Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
Google did not.
I hear what you're saying, but these are smart people, and apparently only the Google people are smart enough to make the design.
Oh God, he's fallen over.
I'm looking for my Pixel because it's sitting right here. Yeah, you know, I like this phone.
It's not an attractive phone, but it's a great phone.
But you see what I'm saying? They put the camera up in the corner. That's all you had to do. That's all Apple had to do. They made their tactic physical button that when the phone dies, it drives me crazy because I click it like a tart cart over and over again and forgetting that it's not a real button. It's not a real
boy. But then you know that it's off. Then you know it's not just, you know, then you know it's legitimately, the battery died, and not like, why is the screen not turning on? What's wrong?
Did you call it a tart cart?
I called myself a tart cart. I would never disrespect an Apple product.
What the hell is a tart cart?
Oh.
It's me when I'm dumb enough to keep clicking.
And
this
by the way, I don't want this perception to continue. So it's a fingerprint reader gesture. You can swipe up on the fingerprint reader.
But why is it reacting to your tongue? Your tongue has its own dots and pixelations to it that shouldn't be your finger.
Well, I don't think it's
secure.
I don't think it's supposed to be secure. I think it's just a swipe up to. If you swipe down, you pull down the notifications. It's just that's all it is.
Yeah,
it's not. It's not magic.
Okay.
Although I like pretending.
I'm so relieved. I'm so relieved to hear that. I mean.
Well, if you were going to be sneaking in people's bedrooms, like I said, having
that was a good trick, though. That was a good trick. I have to remember that. Well, hey, next time I'm in a store, I'll go, let me charge that. And lick the right? That's going to work great.
You're going to freak some people out. You're going to freak some people out.
I'll try it at McDonald's when I see their dystopian uniforms. Did you see these new uniforms? McDonald's. This is so fun.
Goodness.
There's been a whole Twitter thread on this. They got Warrer Boswell to design. He's a designer to design new gray uniforms. Warrer used to work at McDonald's when he was a kid, and he said, I was embarrassed. I had to take off my party-colored uniform, my Ronald McDonald yellow uniform before I left the building because I didn't want anybody to see me in it. But, of course, it looks so dystopian. Immediately, Gizmodo says, it's going to usher in the Logan's Run dystopia we've all been waiting for. And then somebody else calls it McGattica and posts a picture of the Hunger Games District 10. It's the District 10 uniform. Notice their logo is a bull with carving knives. Yikes.
Leo. You know the crazy thing about McDonald's?
Yeah.
Listen, you listening?
Yeah.
When you want to get a McDonald's, the best thing to do when you get a McDonald's is to buy the property and then build your McDonald's on it so that you own the property too. Maybe you should tell us something about property and buying and loans and mortgages.
Oh, you're so good. How did you know?
Maybe you
could
let us know something about that. Help us out.
How did you know that? You're so impressive. So impressive.
We got to make this
you
money.
Watched
on,
you watched that documentary. You watched that Ray Kroc documentary, didn't you?
It wasn't a documentary.
Michael Keaton as a dramatization.
It was good, though. And, you know, I used to work at McDonald's, so I knew the history, and it was exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah. It was very, very right on. And I like my McDonald's uniform so much, I still have it. And I'll wear it next time on the show.
I was going to say, do you still wear it?
Yeah, with my little trainee hat.
Oh, my goodness.
The story's in my book, by the way. The McDonald's story's in the book.
Is it? You used it everything.
Yes, it
here.
Is.
Wow.
I used it all. Well, not really. You have a very full life that could fill its own book, Leo. Yeah, but I took the highlights.
Thank you. Follow the Geeks. Available everywhere, including audible.com. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Thank you. Oh, doctor, you're exactly right. If it's time to buy a house or refi your existing home, you want to go to a lender, A, that's good, that you trust, that makes the process easy and transparent. And Quicken Loans is that lender. They are the most high-tech lender out there, one of the biggest lenders in the country. I think they are number two right now. And you wouldn't want to go with number one. Trust me, I know who they are. They're revitalizing Detroit. They're very techie. They're very into this stuff. And they are very good. If you go to quickenloans.com/twit2, you'll see all those J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Awards. Number one for the last 7 years running in mortgage origination, number one in mortgage servicing, too. They really are the best. And now they're the best geek choice because they've created a new mortgage approval process. They call it Rocket Mortgage. That's completely online. So you don't have to go to the lender. You don't have to bring in paperwork. You submit everything you need with a touch of a button. And by the way, you can do it on your phone. You can do it on your tablet. You can do it on your PC. You could even do it at an open house. You can, you know, play with the rate and length of your loan in real time and do this all in minutes. Get approved almost instantly in minutes for a mortgage that's tailored to your exact financial situation. That's all. I mean, if you've ever gone through this process, this is so much. Last time we bought a house, which was 3 or 4 years ago, it took a month. Literally, we went on vacation. We thought this will be gone. But yeah, we could do this now. We'll be done by the time we go on vacation. We went on vacation. We were faxing documents from a cruise ship. It was crazy. So next time, believe me, when it comes time to buy or refi, quickenloans.com/twit2 for Rocket Mortgage, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030, Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. We had a fun week this week. We've got a little promotional video to show you that will help you. I know, Karsten, I can tell you're working to get this thing up because I jumped to it very early.
Previously on Twit.
This is Robert's face. He had himself scanned.
They made me a 3D model.
Oh! So,
That's creepy as hell.
It is freaky, isn't it?
Windows Weekly.
Rich Turner's official title is Senior Program Manager at Microsoft, but he's best known for being Mr. Bash.
I don't know how we managed to keep this thing under wraps. But there were very, very few
I'll
leaks.
Tell you how. Nobody could possibly believe that you were doing it. Even if they heard the rumor, they went, oh, that's insane.
The new screensavers.
We're going to see Meta in a brand new augmented reality platform. You can do more with this than Microsoft's doing with the HoloLens.
90-degree field of view. So immersive that you don't really see the edges. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like virtual reality on top of the real world.
Twit. It's where your brain and tech meet.
But you know what's interesting is when you first held that up, it felt like augmented reality of him, right?
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
And I have a small one, too, so they made me two of them.
too many Scovilles.
Too many Scovilles, yes, Megan Maroney.
Too many Scovilles.
What's coming up in the week ahead?
Here is a look at just a few of the stories we'll be watching in the week ahead. Lots of quarterly earnings reports this week, including Google, Amazon, PayPal, Sony, Intel, GoPro, and Microsoft. And speaking of Microsoft, this week on April 25th, the company will begin rolling out Windows 10 Creators Update to Windows Phone. But the company says that only a subset of Windows Phone handsets will get the update. And say goodbye to Google Hangouts as we know it. Google shut down Hangouts API back in January. But as of this week, on April 25th, the company will shut off existing apps. And hoping to give us a shot of good Uber news, the ride-hailing company plans to live stream its first Elevate VTOL Summit this week from April 25th through April 27th. So get ready for your flying car.
Oh,
that's a look at a few of the things we'll be tracking in the coming week. Join Jason Howell and me on Tech News Today every week at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern here on twit.tv.
Thank you, Megan. I think I broke it. I can't unlock it now. I shouldn't have licked it so many times.
You licked it too much. You got it all wet.
Isn't it waterproof?
You know what? Water resistant. 6'7", right? IP67?
What? I think I broke it. I need to go talk to Scoble. I need a mini-me.
You want a mini-you? That was cool, wasn't it?
A mini-me would be cool. I mean,
I literally cannot. I think I don't lick you. So I have a bad record with Samsung. The Note 7, I put the pen in upside down and it broke it and... Oh, good.
That sounds like a whole lot of not my problem. You put the thing upside down.
You're so let's talk about
upside
Apple.
Upside down is better. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Apple. Apple has a Apple has an employee who specializes in making fake human sweat.
Synthetic sweat.
I like
sweat.
That you chose that lead.
Well, now you understand how important it is that you test things. Like fingerprint readers and so forth. It's extremely.
I met a guy who his job was he made synthetic urine.
And he
sold it to companies that would do drug tests and other things like that, and they needed just urine to sample things with, and he was making synthetic urine, and I'm like, that's the craziest job I've ever heard.
So Apple released. Apple released, believe it or not, an Earth Day video about, why Apple makes its own sweat.
I actually ended up creating a whole subsection of my team that's just focused on skin safety. Really, what they're trying to do is to make sure that our products won't harm human health or the environment.
Do they test it if you lick it?
Apple Watch Band. Immerse it into something like artificial sweat.
This is the funny part. We use fake human sweat. We want to mimic actual use conditions, but we're not going to go around collecting sweat from our employees.
Our lab was like, we can do this a lot better if we just make our own sweat. And so every day, they make up a new batch of sweat. And there's one guy in our lab. And
all right, this is way too much about Apple, though. Actually, these are great. These are their Earth Day videos. I think this is super cute.
I can actually respect the Earth Day videos because they finally did something that I harp about all the time when Apple says all the great things they do for the world. They're going to start using recyclables instead of destroying the planet to get
they
the
say
little
no
minerals.
More mining. No more the, mining. It, yeah. I love so, that.
It's, I mean, that is, a, that is a long-term goal for them. But, I mean, they have been working towards it for a very long time. Like, this is not just something where out of the blue they're like, you know what, guys? Now we're going to start being responsible. Like, Apple has been on this track for about 20 years. And, I mean, you can see it in all of the things that they've done pretty much since 1999 onward. But this is, I think, a much more public stand. I mean, Lisa Jackson was on John Gruber's Daring Fireball this weekend. Lisa Jackson, who's, of course, the SVP of the Environmental Technologies. And, I mean, the fact that they're willing to talk so publicly about this, not only what their plans are in the future, which is a very un-Apple thing, but also let's tell you all of the ways that we're doing this, to me shows that Apple's committed not only to making this for their own products, but kind of being a guiding post, right, for the rest of the technology world, basically saying, hey guys, like, we know that you don't like us because we make our products so that they're, you know, not necessarily user repairable, but we have a reason for that. And we're going to try and still use all of those parts and make sure that those parts don't end up in a landfill somewhere.
Apple can obviously control its, you know, Foxconn, the people assembling the phone, but it's been notoriously difficult for them to control the supply chain. And so there are parts in all smartphones that use rare and exotic minerals that are mined by children in the Congo, for instance. So, and Apple's, to their credit, done everything they can, I know, to go up that supply chain and make sure that everything's done as responsibly as possible. But there's only so much they can control. So I think this is, and it's the right thing to do. I mean, I have to say,
it is
the trend among not just Apple, but all of these phones. These, you know, Apple's phones aren't recyclable by any normal recycler, nor is this S8. I mean, they're glued together. Everything's very tightly. You can't just grind it up and burn it. You really need, as Apple did, it built a robot, Liam, to disassemble its iPhone. I doubt Liam's in widespread use, but that illustrated how difficult it would be to recycle its stuff. So I think
I don't want to sound like it's an Apple, just an Apple thing. It is a corporation thing. And I just appreciate them coming out and saying it out loud and more forward, because at the same time, there's still a company that does what they do when how they need to do it and get it done. So for 20 years of them being, you know, recyclable, and then the things are less taken apart. I like the fact that they've actually made this statement and they're moving forward in a more aggressive manner than the ho-hum, hey, we're trying to save the earth approach that they slide under the radar.
Well, as long as it's not lip service. Yeah, as long as they're genuinely going to do this, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they do, it'll put pressure on others, right, to do the same. That's what we've seen. We did an award-winning story in 2014 on we had people on the ground in Democratic Republic of Congo that looked at, you know, what was really happening, and beyond that, that was when the story was kind of hot with conflict minerals, and looked at the real consequences, human consequences, to, you know, the ways that these things are not only mined but also recycled, because a lot of the stuff gets sent back there and burned and shipped and separated and all of that, and the human consequences are real, and that story becomes a lot closer to home when you understand that, and you understand that these things that I buy, you know, end up, harming people, in consequences that have consequences that you never intended. And so, you know, hats off to them. It's overdue, not just for them, but for the industry. And it is good to see them taking a leadership position, and I think it will affect others.
Again, that's the best part of it, is that they're going to put pressure on other companies, again, coming out and being more public about it, because I understand that they have to have these materials and they have to come from somewhere. But as they progress to making, especially Apple leading the way of making their devices unswappable, unchangeable, you can't swap out batteries, you can't swap out and put an SD card in it. Like, Apple products are starting to have like a one and done shelf life. And they do have a lot of places you could drop stuff off, as a Best Buy, vis-a-vis, or something like that. But again, a lot of things don't end up in the places that they need to be to get recycled. So them making a statement just puts more force on other people. And that is something I'm really excited about, because it's something we always look over. Oh, solar is the next best thing. Where are they getting all the materials for the solar panels again?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're blowing up holes in the ground and disturbing water and lakes and streams, but it's cool. We need the solar because we're all about clean energy. So, I mean, it's always a tit for tat as far as the planet's concerned. So any effort is a great effort to me.
They do. I mean, the new Apple Park spaceship campus is solar. The whole roof is solar.
And I feel like that thing's going to just fly off one day. I feel like aliens are going to come invade, and Apple's just going to be like, all right, it's time to go. And that thing's going to be gone. Like, that's the spaceship that's just going to leave us all behind. And they just tell you it's an office building.
They're moving in. They're moving in, starting to move in this month.
I really wanted to sneak in there when I was in San Jose this week. Man. I was like, is there any way I could sneak in there? I was like, no.
You need a drone.
There's
two people. There's Duncan and Sinfeld and another guy who do these drone videos. And so we've been able to watch this process. And Apple must know that they've got these drones flying over shooting video.
There's not much they can do. Like, they can't post an AK-47 at the
I guess not. I don't know.
I don't think they mind all that much. I mean, look, it's creating lots of, it's like free, you know, demand for them and hype and publicity. They kind of love that stuff to a degree, right? That partially they're so secretive so that people will spend more time anticipating, right? That actually
Ooh, look
tends
inside.
To work
look
in their favor.
Look. Ooh.
Did you see the guy in China who made his office building look like the Enterprise from Star Trek? Have you seen that building?
No.
Somebody Google that. Find it.
It's amazing.
Real quick. It's pretty awesome. Wow. I'm almost sure that was real, and I'm not making that up in my mind. I didn't dream that.
It feels like you might have dreamt that. I'm just saying.
No, somebody in the chat room.
If you did, it's a good dream. It's a good dream if you did.
The power of the internet, China, Asian business guy, Star Trek. Office building.
This footage, I'll find it, but this footage is interesting because it shows they're working at night, which means they're working really fast and hard to try to get this ready for occupancy, which starts, as I said, this month on the Apple campus. All right, I'm going to Google Starship. There it is.
Wow.
The $100 million building that looks like the Starship Enterprise.
And you think awesome. I don't know what's going on in the world.
I wonder how Paramount feels about this. They're very protective of the Star Trek IP.
How you feel if they throw photon torpedoes in your face? That's how you feel about it. I'm sure that thing comes equipped with some like sandwich photon torpedo. How dope is that? Like, I want to work for that dude. When I saw that, I'm like, this is the coolest dude on the planet. I probably can't breathe over there, but I want to work in that building. I just want to do it.
I can't even see the building most days of the year.
Book us a trip, Uncle Leo. Let's go to his office.
Small.
Let's go.
Wow. Yeah. So another more kudos to Apple. Apparently, I didn't know this. Before he died, Steve Jobs founded a super secret initiative to develop sensors that can non-invasively and continuously monitor blood sugar levels to treat diabetes. This is a story as CNBC got the scoop here. Apparently, they've been conducting feasibility trials at clinical sites across the Bay Area. But Google's talked about making contact lenses that can measure the blood sugar through your tears. I don't think this is a contact lens. I'm not sure exactly. Well, they say optical sensors. It apparently shines a light through the skin and measures
the same way
glucose.
It's the same way that the Apple heart rate sensor works. It's currently the heart rate sensor uses oximeter technology, which is the same thing as Fitbit, most of the others. And the glucose monitoring system would be something somewhat similar. I'm not surprised at all by this, especially again, going back to the thing where like Apple's main like core passions when it comes to human interest are the environment, and learning, like teaching and health, especially. I mean, I don't want to say the catalyst was Steve Jobs getting sick or anything like that, but I do think that it's something that's a big part of Tim Cook's Apple and something that he cares very deeply about and that Jobs certainly cared very much about. And I would not be surprised if the holy grail for treating diabetes was one tier of what eventually became the Apple Watch.
Well,
if
you could wear an Apple Watch and have continuous blood sugar measurements, that there's 30 million diabetics, they'd sell 30 million Apple Watches.
Remember when Phil Liven was on, and he had that unit that stuck into his arm?
Right.
That gave him his current.
But that was invasive. That wasn't non-invasive.
Non-invasive.
That was pricking his skin.
But again, I'm just saying that technology is moving towards that in a very fast manner, especially overseas. And so Apple is like, look, the rest of the world is working on this. We need to find a way that we can get this in our devices so we can make it. So again, it is about money at the end of the day, because what you just said is a fact. If someone says, I can just have this not be pricking my finger 32 times a day,
it's the best.
I need that watch.
It's the best of all possible worlds. It's a product. It's a business. But it also would be huge for health. This is, we talk about virtual reality, augmented reality. This is something simple and real that could change a lot of people's lives.
That's the stuff I care about, Uncle Leo. I like you in real life. That's why I be downing on all this VR and spaceships. I saw Lawnmower Man 30 years ago. I'm still waiting. So until we get to something that's like super sexy and functional, I will bash it in the head and let you guys be the positive ways of the world. But that Apple's doing because they have a clear path yep. to making things work and making a crap ton of money.
Mm-hmm. Apple, by the way, is apparently, I've heard rumors, struggling to get a fingerprint reader in the next generation iPhone because I guess they don't want to put one on the back. They want to put one under the screen, and that's been the rumor. But apparently, according to some supply sources, they're having difficulty making that work. It'll be very...
Yeah. They will not... They will never make... They will dongle. Never make a fingerprint dongle. That is ridiculous.
This is a story from The Verge.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
No, yeah. That's this what
is,
they say,
this
too.
This is someone... Yeah, this is someone who's like, all right, let's run with this crazy rumor because it's right. insane.
Okay.
But no joke, like it's let me talk about this for a sec because I think it's absolutely silly. Like, of course, Apple has probably been testing a fingerprint sensor on the rear casing for, again, 2 years, right. probably since they started developing an OLED option for their iPhone.
Right.
And an edge-to-edge because you cannot do edge-to-edge screen technology with the current generation finger sensor. It's just it's going to be very, very difficult. And there's only so much room in which to put some, you know, put all of this technology while improving the camera, while improving the screen, you know, adding wide color and the P3 color gamut and all of this nonsense. Like, you got to pick and choose your battles. So I believe that Apple is currently weighing, like, okay, do we try and, we can't get 100% QA on fingerprint sensor on the front and we may have some problems? Or do we have to compromise and put the fingerprint sensor on the back for a year when we go to this edge-to-edge display? So I'm not surprised that we're seeing these different models come up. I'm sure they've been around in testing for a while.
Right.
The real question is, are they going to actually ship one or the other of these? Like, we're not really going to know until we get much, much closer.
This is
Serenity.
Speculation.
There's tea in this cup, and you seem real sensitive about them dongles. Apple brought that joke upon themselves, Serenity. It's just a joke. Nobody believes they're going to have a fingerprint dongle, but that's Apple's fault bringing in Dongle City, so I'm going to sip on this tea. But you seem real upset about that.
They did do a few dongles. Yes, they did.
They did. I do think whatever they've done is already decided. Like, these links are, you know, like Serenity says, I'm sure there's lots of prototypes. I'm sure they tried lots of different ways. I obviously, based on the patents and stuff they've filed, they would love to keep it on the front, not let there be any sort of obvious circle or anything. Maybe you have a place similar to where the fingerprint sensor is now, but you know that you put your finger there, or maybe something lights up and shows you to put your finger there when you put your finger over it or something. I think that's the ideal for them based on the patents they filed, but it may not be technologically possible yet. And so I think Serenity's theory is a good one. They may have to have a bridge between where they'd like to be and, you know, the fact that they're probably going to go to this bezel-less display similar to the S8. And it may have to go on the back. If they do, I hope they put it in the middle like Google has done and not to the side of the camera like the S8, which is kind of a disaster.
Apple's used to putting their cameras in the top corner also. Samsung always puts their cameras in the middle. So their design generally is already set up for that. Obviously, things might change, but yeah.
According to ComScore, Apple has more iPhone users in the U.S. than at any point in history. Get this, 85.8 million iPhone owners 13 and up. 85.8 million people using iPhones.
I mean, if you're a kid now, you look at, you know, if you look at kids, like, none of them want to be caught without an iPhone. It's almost like, and a lot of it's the iMessage thing, right? Like, if you're a green bubble and not a blue bubble, it's like, ooh, you know? And that's real. And that's, for whatever reason, and it could change, right? Tastes, and it's almost like a taste and fashion thing. And those things can change. But I do think that's powering a lot And it's going to continue to have implications for Apple over over the next several years. That doesn't mean couldn't change it, but I don't see a whole lot of people jumping to S8s, you know,
Can you pull that chart 20. Up again? Is that an iOS thing versus Android thing, or is that an iPhone thing versus a Galaxy thing? Like,
so this chart is iPhones, but if you look at this, this is the chart of smartphone platforms. The blue at the bottom is Android. iOS is the light blue. The dark blue is Android. Okay. So and then it's funny because it goes back to 2005 when there was no Android or iPhone. At that point, it was Microsoft, BlackBerry,
Palm.
Symbian, yeah, okay. and Palm. Palm, the purple one, shrunk away to nothing.
Because what I was about to say was
BlackBerry shrunk away to nothing.
When you talk about kids, kids just want a phone. Yeah. And I see more kids when I pick my kid up from school with Androids than I do iPhones because most people can't afford it.
That's exactly right.
You can go
right.
get your kid... A That's phone exactly. is $100, an Android phone. You can get them a OnePlus or anything over an iPhone. I mean, of course, people
the
like me that
the
are stupid.
iPhone is seen as the phone of privilege by a lot
it is.
Of people.
It yeah. is, but as a yeah. phone affordability for a child to give it to a 14-year-old that you can't trust is
well,
Android
is
phone. So that's
Android
why
is 53%. The problem
yeah,
is
that's
Android, that's a
that
bunch
chart.
Of manufacturers. iPhone is one manufacturer.
That.
That's the difference.
But I'm
right?
just saying. Is still multiple devices over when you just say everybody got an iPhone. I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
I bet you. I'd like to. This is from ComScore, and I don't see the number of Samsung phones, but I bet you Samsung is not far off that mark of 85 million. Because for most people, when they say Android, they mean Samsung.
Again, that's why I wanted to see a different kind of chart because
right.
when you just say those things, everything Apple yeah. sounds woohoo. But I mean, in reality, the way the world works, everybody can't afford an iPhone. Nothing to nothing, and nobody wants the old ones with the bumpity bumps, and they can go get a solid Android device that works for them, especially when you're giving it to children.
Yeah. No,
that's funny. I see kids using the funny thing is I see kids using like these carrying around like old
iPhone
5s,
fours
even
things.
4S
yeah, the little ones.
And
yeah.
stuff yep. where they're like hand-me-downs
they
from, you know, a
yep.
parent or an uncle or, you know, a cousin or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, just give them that. Throw a SIM in there, you know, throw them on the family plan for $20 a month or whatever.
Leah's got an iPhone 6 Plus S.
Oh, she's a fancy girl. Yeah, baller. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, hell will freeze over. But that's a tease. But first, a word from
Back
Carbonite. Are you reading my mind? Get out of my head, Owen J.J. Hey. Stone, oh, doctor.
Gotta
yeah.
make this money, man. Gotta make this money.
Carbonite online backup. You got it. You nailed it.
You got to back it up to get it back.
You got. Thank you. I invented that slogan. They don't actually use it. I just say it.
I believe it.
But it's true.
It's the truth.
And with ransomware rampant in the world, Carbonite is a really important solution, not just from home users, but for businesses. Because, one employee opens one bad email. You know, it's always from the boss. You know, Smithers, here's the spreadsheet. Open it. And he opens it, and it's ransomware, and your entire system is now corrupted, and you can't do business. You don't have access to your customer list, your supplier list, your accounts receipt. You got nothing. That's when you'll be glad you have Carbonite. Carbonite online backup for home, for office, for Mac, for PC protects your most valuable asset, your data. And by the way, they do it right. They do it automatically, continuously. You don't have to remember it. They have backup for individual computers as little as $59 a year for everything on a PC or a Mac. They have server backups. They even have this eVault, which is local hard drive backup plus Carbonite cloud backup together. So you have instant access to your data. It's locally stored and it's backed up on Carbonite's cloud where it just cannot be lost. And that's really important. And because they support versioning, even if you do get bit by ransomware, Carbonite can save your tuchus. Go to the business section, read the resources page, ransomware mitigation, lots of great information there. They can send you a hard drive to backup. They can send you a hard drive to recover, too, so you can get back up and running even if you've got terabytes of data stored in the cloud. You don't have to download it. They'll FedEx you a hard drive. Just go there. Try it. Find out more. Free trials for all the different plans. Do use our offer code TWIT, so you get two bonus months if you decide to buy Carbonite Offercode.com. Offer code TWIT for 2 free bonus months. You don't need to give them a credit card. Just please do use that offer code. And now we say it. You got to back it up to get it back. Do it right with Carbonite.
Yes, sir.
Hell freezing over because, according to the Wall Street Journal, Google is planning to put an ad blocker in Chrome. Google, whose business is selling online ads, is planning to put an ad blocker in Chrome. Now, I'm guessing it's not going to strip out Google ads.
But I was about to say, that's what you do, the Mr. Smith.
Yeah, there's your...
Excellent. Excellent.
Let me take away my competition.
Google ads.
They're going to use...
I will say...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Serenity.
Oh, no, I'm amused by the deck on that article where it's like, Google plans to strip out bad ads. And as someone whose site uses Google ads from time to time, and we have been absolutely smothered with these awful Google ads that hijack the browser and try and like send you to App Store stuff. Like that amuses me. I'm like, Google, fix your own darn ad problem before you try and destroy other ads.
I would submit in Google's defense that this is exactly what Google's doing. They've tried a number of things because, you know, the worst case scenario for Google is that everybody starts using ad blockers and nobody sees ads, Google's or anybody else's. And then, and by the way, that's a bad thing for iMore and for Tech Republic and a lot of sites rely on banner ads. That's how you monetize the site. And if more and more people, and I'm sure the trend is, are using ad blockers, Google's got to do something. They started AMP, the AMP initiative for mobile, the idea being that AMP would make pages load much more quickly on mobile. They got a lot of publishers to use it. It still has ads, but it has much more limited ads. JavaScript is very much constrained. You can't have audio. I mean, there's a lot of things. And that's, I think, kind of what they're doing here. They say they will block offensive ads, ads that... have pop-ups or auto-playing video or what we call pre-stitial ads, which you have to watch before you can see the content. So we don't know the details yet of what Google will or will not block, but I think this makes sense. If you're Google, better to do this than go in a world where every ad is blocked. Better to at least meet users halfway. And what, you know, I use a browser called Brave, which is based on Google's Chrome browser, that has a contribute button in it. And what you do is you turn it on, you set up an automatic payment into an account, and then Brave blocks all ads but pays out publishers who sign up to so that they make up the difference, right? I'm in effect paying for an ad-free internet. I think that's a really good solution.
How much are they nickel and diming you on that?
You can start.
What's the Brave amount that you're getting nickel and dime on?
It's up to you. You can. I think the lowest is $1 a month. You can choose to do $5 a month, which is kind of the default, and you can do more. And then they'll just divvy. This is a really cool browser. It has LastPass built in. It has ad blocking built in, and it has a way to support publishers. And you even decide which publishers get contributions. You can
I can back Brave on that. That all sounds good. That's just instantly mitigated
best of both worlds, right?
Things. Yes, I can accept that. That sounds like a brave new world. Brave new world.
I knew this was going somewhere.
That was some serious dad joking right there.
Yeah,
cheesy.
He's a dad. And incidentally, what Brave does is the other side as well, which is, if you're a publisher like Tech Republic or iMore, you go to their website and you get verified and you say, I want to be in this, and you can get involved and you will get, you know, you're automatically included in this micropayment system. I think this is really interesting. I really like this idea. This is the kind of thing Google should do. And incidentally, Brave is around because Google open sources its browser, Chromium open source. So this is just a fork of Chromium. So it's using the Chromium Blink engine and all of that. So it works well. The only thing I don't like about Brave, and it works on all platforms, is it's a little ugly. It's not super elegant. But, hey, you know what? Built-in LastPass and built-in ad blocking, that sounds pretty good to me.
I think the Google thing is, the thing about Google is Google owns DoubleClick, right? Which is one of the biggest ad brokers,
right?
Ad platforms. In the world. And so it bought it a number of years ago. It kind of runs in the background. So it's not that Google's going to block, like this is not going to touch AdWords at all. But it could, they could hurt themselves, right? With ad block, I assume you have to assume anything that runs on their sites is not going to get blocked, that runs on their platform is not going to get blocked. But it is an interesting it is an interesting thought experiment, because I sort of have my doubts about this. I saw this story too, and I just kind of can't see them doing it. But Google also does some strange things that you wouldn't expect sometimes. Build whole fiber networks and spend billions of dollars and then realize this is too expensive. You know, so you just kind of never know with them. They go out there and try weird things. But I just have my doubts about this. Even if they do this, how effective they'll be at it, because they're going to come across as hypocritical. They're going to have to try to let their own stuff through to keep making money, because this is where so much of their revenue, you know, comes from. They have not found another trick yet, you know, to making money other than ads. And so I don't know. Even if they do this, I don't know how good it's going to be or how much of a difference it'll make.
Well, it just depends on how much pressure they're under, in a way. I mean, I think if they, they know better than anybody how many ads are being blocked. I mean, the other alternative, do you do this? Do you guys do this? Is to have a pop-up that says, hey, I see you're using an ad blocker. Can you knock it off? Or would you like to give us money? Or sometimes prevent you from visiting the site.
Right. We don't do that, but we do replace it with our own sort of in-house text ads. We don't make all of our money off of, you know, Tech Republic doesn't, you know, make
you have another business.
All of its money on display ads. Right. We have other lines of business. So we have our own sort of matchmaking service between, you know, enterprise vendors and enterprise users.
That's smart.
If they block the ad, then we just surface our little in-house kind of texty ads, or more kind of like Google
can't
AdWords.
Can't be blocked because they're first-party ads, so they can't be blocked.
Right, yeah. Right.
Although I'm seeing ad blockers now really getting aggressive about blocking the request not to use an ad blocker. I mean,
it's blocking GetAdmiral and the in-between. Well, it makes sense.
I guess. It seems unethical to me. So what is iMore? Look, Mobile Nations entirely relies on, entirely.
We have several revenue streams, but our primary source for the website, at least, is definitely advertising revenue. We have an occasional pop-up that'll hit, I think, about 10% of users using ad blockers. It's just an interstitial.
You're testing it out.
Yeah, it's basically just a, hey, like, you know, just an FYI, like we make, like you, yeah. you help support us. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But we're also, I mean, we're testing with the idea of, you know, people who are, you know, already members of our site, you know, removing some of the ads or giving them a better experience as an incentive to, you know, become part of our community.
Right.
So because the site really is the new, and especially the new design, it's so nice without ads. It really is.
Well, you see, I use an ad blocker, but I use it on the shows because
you never know what it pops up.
I don't want to give those ads error on our air, but let me disable the ad blocker and refresh and you'll see. Not that. Wait a minute. Here comes some ads. But you see, this part of it is this load time. These ads are still loading. It really makes a difference in the over. Now, I want to support iMore. If I could give you $5 and not see ads, I would do it.
We're working on something like that. Believe me.
Well, and I think that's why the Brave micropayments thing. And Google had a thing like that called Google Contributor. They're pausing it. They said we're going to come back with something better. That may be tied into what Google's going to do. Maybe they're looking at Brave and saying, what if we put in an ad blocker that had Google Contributor as the back end so people could support?
Yeah, and all these big sites, you know, like us, we've looked at this for years too, right? All big sites and small sites and publishers of all kinds have looked at this idea. You know, you look and you see what is the average cost, the average that we get, the average revenue we get per user, right? And if it's whatever, you just take your thing and round it up, you know, by 5-10%, and you know, till it comes to an even number, and you say, great, we'll just offer a pro subscription that says, just pay us that, you know, a year, and away you go. And that number tends not to be, especially if you have sites that have millions of users, that number is not that big. And it'll be an interesting test over the next few years to see how many sites actually do that, right? Offer this sort of paid tier where you can say, you do this, you see no ads. You know, you get an ad-free experience. It's going to be much faster. Maybe we'll even throw in a few incentives, extra things. And, you know, will users want to pay for stuff they could get for free somewhere else and see some ads?
Well, that's the question.
History has told us no.
I like History this. Right. I no. like this contributor yeah. thing. I'm the kind of guy who feels guilty about running an ad blocker but wants to run an ad blocker. Give me a way yeah. to give the sites some money. If everybody's happy, I'm much happier. But you're right. I don't know if the majority would do that.
Yeah.
You're right. History tells us no.
Hot take.
I think you could skip this ad. Actually, you could. You know, I mean, one of the problems with podcasts is we can't guarantee that the ad is... I shouldn't say this out loud. But I think advertisers aren't dumb. I mean, just like a newspaper. If you're reading a newspaper, there's no promise that somebody's going to see your ad. It's there, but they're gonna they may yeah. go right by it. They may not even open that page. Same thing with a podcast or any TV show. People know how to fast forward. I think
when podcasts is kind of not as easy as that, because if you skip past it, then you got to get back to the part where they're talking
right.
about. And usually
we try
on
to
a
make
fun
it
show
hard.
Like this, somebody says something yeah. amusing and you want to
exactly.
get back to it. So you just deal with it. When I tell Uncle Leo it's time to read an ad, and we just go on about our day.
Yeah.
So don't shortchange
yeah, we
yourself.
We only do. We don't do more than one ad every half hour. We try to you know, make them products
or,
you would be interested
in. Or the first
in.
Hour and 17 minutes until I bring it up and force feed it, because you know, we got to get this guapole. You know
All right,
what I'm saying?
Let's
we
do an ad. Let's do an ad.
Got to check off our boxes.
Perfect example yeah. here. Perfect example. This is an ad for a company that we use, we like, we've known for years, and we think some of you would like. And what we try to do with the ads is tell you about a product that you might think is useful, like Drobo.
Drobo
data. It started with the founder started it. He had a hard drive crash. He had a RAID array, right? Everybody was using RAID, but it failed. And he said, "Well, wait, I thought I was protected." So he said, "I want to make a better redundant storage solution." Drobo stands for Data Robot, I think is what it stood for. They invented a new kind of RAID called Beyond RAID, which has a lot of benefits, including the ability to mix drive sizes in one Drobo. So I do that all the time. I put in whatever hard drives I have lying around in my Drobo. I have a couple of Drobos. I have the Drobo Mini at home, and I have a 5N. And so, but when the starts to fill up, it tells you. It's got these great lights on the front. Tells you exactly what's going on. One of them goes orange because it's running out of room. No problem. I don't even have to turn it off. I just get a bigger drive, put it in, and I've increased the capacity because you don't have to match the sizes. Plus, they've got a variety of different ways to back, you know, have redundant data. So you really are backed up. They've got battery-backed cache. So if the power goes out, you don't have to worry. It prevents write failure or data corruption. Couldn't be easier to use. These panels on the front, they're magnetically attached. No screwdriver needed. You add a drive without a screwdriver. You slide it in. It's so easy to do. The status lights tell you exactly what's going on. Rebuilding, getting low, drive failed, whatever. They've just introduced a new Drobo. You see this one? The 5N2. It's the next era of simplified network-attached storage for your connected home or small office. High-performance, upgraded processor. They do port bonding, which means if you have multiple internet service providers, you can bond their data together to give you higher speed connection. And on the back, not 1 gigabit, 2 gigabit Ethernet ports. So you put one in each port, two different providers, you've got incredible throughput. SSD compatibility, they have an mSATA accelerator bay. I use the mSATA accelerator bay to speed up writes. It's really fantastic. Of course, secure backup, remote data access and sharing, disaster recovery. I mean, true peace of mind. And the Drobo apps are available for the 5N2. They're really taking advantage of the new processor. Drobo Pix gives you photo backup. Plex, yes. They've got cloud apps for backup and data syncing. Developer tools for programs and websites. You could put a full LAMP stack on there. Node.js. You could put Word. You can run your WordPress site right there, or your clients. If you're a web developer, this is a great way to do client sites so that they can see what you're doing. App developers can use C and Go and Perl and Python and Ruby. There's even a Git client. So the new 5N2 is a power tool. Go to drobostore.com to learn more. Check out their complete line of products. And the prices, they're better than ever. They've lowered prices on almost the entire line. Plus, you're going to save 10% at drobostore.com when you use the code TWIT10. And that includes the brand new 5N2. Drobostore.com, the offer code TWIT10 for 10% off at the Drobo Store. Learn more about how they work. I think you'll be very impressed. Drobo.
Drobo is one of those SS products. It's sexy and simple.
Sexy and simple. Just like you, SS product. Doctor. And simple.
Hey, you never lied.
You like that bitch.
You never lied.
This is like the data show. I love it.
It is. Well, we do geek stuff. I want to do geek products. I don't, you know, that's occasionally, you know, we're going to get, I think for Father's Day, we're going to get some kind of more, you know, cosmetics and things. But I like, if we cool. can do, if we can do the geek products, I like to do that.
It's fun. It does remind me, though, of just one more thing on the conversation we were just finishing on advertising.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, the old joke in advertising is that I know 50% of my advertising doesn't work. I just don't know which 50 it is.
Right.
Right. And so that's why they have to do what they do and spend so much money. Those days are going to end soon.
That's right.
We are becoming part of a world where, you know, we are be able to measure and manage everything. Like even your show, even audio ads, there's going to come some service that's going to use a percentage or something. And they're going to be able to tell every one of your advertisers, here's the percentage of people who listened to your ad or acted upon it. They'll do some omni-channel thing where they'll connect buyers and their habits. And then your advertisers will come to you and they'll say something like, oh, well, now we're going to advertise with you, but we have to be the first ad in the show because we see that has 27% more likelihood of a purchase transaction. And so then you're going to have to start saying, oh, well, we're going to charge you more if you want to be the first one in the slot. That's a higher premium or whatever. But it's going to be all based on data. And so this world is changing considerably. And I do think that some of what we're seeing with ad blockers and those things that sort of what's driving this is because there's all this that's high volume, low value inventory on the web. And it's driven by the fact that people just, you know, shove out as many impressions of everything as they can because they can't measure well and they don't know and they don't have sophisticated tools. But I that is destined to change as the web changes, as big data changes, as we become smarter about those things, and just pure scale will matter less and less. And so that's a little bit optimistic view, but there's going to be less value around just blasting out this message to so many people and a lot more value in I'm interested in people who are, you know, interested in these four things.
That's because we're competing with Facebook, buyers. Who can tell.
Yes,
you can sell it down to the last slice, and we're competing with Google. And frankly, I'm not sure I'm going to do very well in that era, because one thing that our audience doesn't want us to do, and I don't want to do, is collect data about them. I don't want to give our advertisers big data. So
well, the one thing, the
you
one
pick
thing
the, you
going-
pick us because you know we're targeted at geeks.
And the other thing that works in your favor or in the favor of listening to an ad from a trusted source is, so, you know, I as a technology person, I get people asking me stuff. Oh, well, you know, I want to start doing my stocks on my own. I want to use one of these apps. Which one should I use? What happens to me? I don't use it, but I've heard it because I've been on this show and I watch the show enough. I say, oh, Wealthfront. Oh, use the code TWIT.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not have mentioned them in 6 months.
We talk to influencers. That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But again, it gets stuck in your mind. I'm saying,
I believe in what we're doing. I just worry that advertisers are going to get that message that Jason's talking about and say, but I want all these numbers. I want to know. I want to target that guy. And I'm not going to ever do that. I'm not going to do that.
You've also get numbers because you get people to use the code that you provide for them too. So you have
But let me tell you that, I mean, again, it's a little inside baseball, but that's a very imperfect system. And we only do that because advertisers want to do that. And a lot of times they want to break it up by show. And the problem is that most people just do TWIT because they know it's TWIT, and they don't MacBreak Weekly. I don't know, and so a lot of times advertisers will usually talk them out of this, but they might have a variety of strange offer codes because they're Remember DraftKings would advertise an NFL football?
But that doesn't work.
Every ad had a different offer code.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, they were trying to figure out, well, did you see the 12-10 ad or the 12-30 ad?
Yeah, exactly.
Dopey.
But this is going to work for you, Leo, because then it's going to be a less imperfect system, right, than the people who there are people who listen to your ads because they trust you and they buy it, but they never put in the code. I think I have bought, I can honestly say, probably more than anything I've ever, any other site I've probably, or, you know, tech publisher, I've bought stuff from this show more than anybody else.
Me too. It's very expensive.
it is because it's targeted, though. Your advertisers know based on your content
they know
based
who they're
on
getting.
The kinds of people who listen that they are and the way that you deliver it. And so where data will help you is it's going to show up more often and the imperfect code system will become less and less important because of omni-channel data based on people who listen to your show, and you know they'll know. Facebook already knows. Facebook is really on top of this.
That's what scares me, because that's how Facebook sells.
But they're looking at helping other vendors. So Facebook may actually be able to help you in this way because they are connecting the dots.
I'm never giving Facebook
and others.
Yeah, see,
Facebook wants to help people outside of Facebook. Come on, Jason.
I'm never giving Facebook any information about our users. I don't know anything about our users, and I don't want to know anything about our users.
The thing is they know even if you don't want them to know.
Son of a...
Like, they know that
they
somebody
do.
Listened to Twit.
Yeah, they kind
they're
of
logged
do.
Into Facebook.
Scary.
And they went to Amazon and they bought that thing that was on your show within 20 minutes of that ad running
so
on
they'll be
Twit.
They'll be telling advertisers about us. Not us.
Yep.
They will. Yeah, that's you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And ISPs, right, who can sell... data, yep. User data now, your ISP.
Many of them pledged not to, but.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Not publicly. They won't do it publicly.
Yeah.
It's a gold mine. It's like saying we have this gold that's sitting in the back room of our headquarters. We're not gonna access that because it's just, you know, we don't really want to do that. And we know people don't like it that we have all of this money.
Of course they're
going to do it.
Yeah.
That's why I spend so much of my time lying to the internet. I'm currently 65 years old. I'm a Caucasian
man.
No,
that's my advice to everybody. Yeah.
But it's because you are super smart and informed about this. Like, are not the average citizen.
I know.
Okay, a couple of quickies, and then we're going to let you all go to your husbands and children.
FBI can't hire hackers because of 420.
So the FBI was very worried because they have a rule that says if you have smoked marijuana in the last, 3 years... you know, you can't be an FBI agent. And so the problem was FBI is trying to find hackers. The FBI is proud to say it can finally find hackers who don't smoke weed. They just drink.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it for a moment.
I think that they didn't smoke for a month and then just said they don't smoke. They wait till it gets out of the system.
Yeah.
And then they hire people anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's a stressful job. Everybody smokes weed. Leo's smoking weed
right now. It's legal. In many states, it's legal here.
There it is.
You know, there's also the way of getting around it by going the contractor route, right? Where you're not an employee of the FBI.
Wink, wink. There you go. That's a good one.
Yes, lots now of they that can going on.
The well, anyway, I'm glad to know I can finally get an FBI job. So that's what
there
I've been looking for. HTC, I bought their phone, the U Ultra. Now they're going to do a new one. Come on. The Ocean will be unveiled with a, touch-sensitive frame on May 16th?
Oh, boy.
What?
Can I just say that the squeeze for the Brill, that is not the shape that it really should be for an advertisement. That reminds me of,
Yes.
Wait a minute. Let me watch this, and you can tell me.
Airbnb's ad came, Airbnb's new logo came out.
What do you mean?
Everybody was like,
what are you saying? What's weird about that? Oh, that.
This is
the invitation.
That's Kotex right there.
It does. Right. It looks like the poster that a lot of people were using in the march for women.
Do you need to take a phone through a turnstile or something? Why do I need to squeeze my phone? What is
because it's fun.
Oh my God.
According to HTC.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I really enjoy, you know, the little brain, like the plastic brain that I have on my desk that I squeeze for like tension.
Yeah,
relief.
Your stress phone. Okay. You're but, stress out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Stress phone.
Let's see it.
So what, we're going to attach my plastic brain.
What happens when I lick it, I wonder? Oh, ooh.
Yeah, see?
Oh, there nice. You go.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that to my phone. Like, what is wrong with people?
So I just stick it on the phone and...
Well, I already performed...
I'm giving it CPR right now.
I already performed brain surgery on my HTC U Ultra and put it in the Samsung Galaxy S8. So. Anyway, it doesn't matter that it's dead, but that's... Intel, weird. Intel had booked downtown San Francisco for the 20th Intel Developers... Actually, 17th Intel Developers Forum and canceled it this week, just out of hand.
This was a bummer. That was actually a good event.
You used to go to it, I know. Yeah,
but I'd go every few years. I do that with a lot of these events. I don't tend not to go every year. I go every, because you tend to hear the same story a lot of times. I typically will skip a year or two in between, but that's a good event.
They still have Moscone West booked, but they canceled it.
Yeah, and mostly because that one was nice because they're not pushing a, you know, they don't have a product that they're pushing to people, right? So it was a nice industry overview. You got a sense from them what was happening.
This is from Ryan Smith and Ian Cutress of Anand Tech. They write, I just got off the phone with Intel about why IDF is being canceled. Here's what Intel says. Intel has been changing rapidly over the last 2 to 3 years as they go from a PC-centric company to a data-centric company. What? They're not going to make chips? What does that mean?
No, it's all that data centers. It's just that they're going to sell they're going to make all their money on data center.
People
chips,
aren't buying
right?
PCs, but they are certainly
power
building
in the cloud.
Data centers. Okay.
Watson.
They lost mobile. They knew mobile was coming. That's funny. I remember IDF like 2008, 2009, they were like, mobile's about to steamroll everything. And they're like, we got to switch to mobile. They still couldn't do it, right?
No,
they knew it
they
was
knew.
Coming, and they still couldn't adjust and do
the
it.
The innovator's dilemma. That's Kodak knew that digital was coming. They even bought companies and put out the first digital cameras. Still didn't save them.
It's kind of over for them on that, but where they can win is in two places, data center, because obviously data centers aren't going away. People are going to build more of them and bigger, and they're going to need bigger and faster ones to handle all of this data and that. So that's where they're making all their money right now.
This processor in the Samsung Galaxy S8, the Snapdragon 835, an ARM chip is designed for not just phones, but data centers. Microsoft, it's rumored, will release its first ARM-based PC in the fourth quarter. Qualcomm, which makes ARM chips, says that.
The ARM thing is...
It's low power.
They want to be in the data center, but...
It's fast. I don't know.
How fast is it, Leo? Like, what are you really going to do on that thing?
It's not smart enough. Yeah, it's not
like,
smart enough
on.
To handle
like,
the
you're over there.
Big
let's say you
data.
Run a show with that instead of that space.
That's
a,
you don't think that's a desktop-class right processor or at least a server-class processor inside this?
Again, look down in front of your face at the $3,000 unit right now and put that phone down.
It's got an Intel i5 in it.
At least $1,000 of that is display.
Oh, almost all of it. In fact, the real knock, this is the Surface Studio, the real knock on this is that it's a kind of crappy laptop grade CPU. It's all about the screen. But I don't mind. I love the screen, don't you?
I do.
Screen is beautiful.
Look, Microsoft
is that wheel.
Yeah. Look, and I wish I could do
something like that.
I don't wish, you know what? I'm Jason Snell here.
I don't wish for an iMac that could do something like that. I wish for
an iPad that
could be a giant iPad that could be a second screen for a desktop.
Maybe.
That or sounds connects, like a whole like, lot of not real power.
Are you kidding?
I don't think
for
power.
For an artist?
My point exactly on the ARM, though, is that power is less important we're kind of
I don't
peaking.
Draw. I do photography and video, so I need
peaked.
More power.
Power
for drawing,
is peaked.
No,
yeah,
not more power.
That.
We're not going much faster.
Well, the thing is, it's not, again, I mean, you make a great point in that it's not about like how speedy one single process is. It's about you know, averaging out multiple processes. If you're working in video, if you're working in animation, you basically need a heavy duty graphics card, like one of NVIDIA's series, their CUDA tech, or, you know, multiple cores to help process and pass out all of that information. If you're doing high end stuff.
Yeah.
But that's now, Apple has clearly observed, that's a small part of the market, almost an irrelevant part of the market.
They don't have a full market anymore. They don't tend to pros.
Yeah,
everybody talk at once.
Start Serenity first.
Serenity, yeah.
I was gonna say it's a small part of the market, but it is a vital part in a couple of significant ways. One, it's the part that develops their applications, so they kind of need to support again a good computer that supports multiple processing. Two, some of their again maybe not the customers that are going to flow off and cash for them, but the customers that are going to help innovate in the space, from a graphic point of view, from a health point of view, they want to, like, I'm sure the people making fake sweat, right? The people who are number crunching the algorithm to make this stuff in a lab, they're not going to want to come to Apple and be like, yeah, we did we used a high-end Windows PC to do that because your Mac Pro isn't good enough.
They might be.
They're probably out there using that Ryzen right now, or Ryzen, however people say it. Right. I fully understand what you're saying about art, and you don't need that, but I need that so bad.
Serenity,
I want Apple to make something that works.
If you came here and you started playing with Photoshop or
I played with it.
I mean, this thing is mind-bogglingly good. The pen is good. The knob is good.
And I'm an Apple lover. So, I want Apple to make one.
The only thing wrong with this is running Windows. And Windows 10 is not that bad. And I think people are going to go, well, you know, it's not, I can live with Windows 10.
So I got to admit, I really have to admit on the Surface Studio, like I went in and tried one because when I saw it announced, I was like, oh my God, this is that computer that I've been watching.
What'd you think?
And I went in. First thing I did was I picked up the pen and I started drawing stuff. And I'm like, all right, this is like the Surface Pro 3, 4 pen. It's like, it's not bad. I'm totally spoiled by the Apple Pencil because it's probably one of the best styluses I've ever used. And
this
I've been
is
using
not
tablets
quite as good. You're right.
Two decades. Yeah, no, yeah, it's yeah, not. Yeah. But it's still a very good stylus. And I'm like, but it's beautiful screen and I'm okay. And then I go, I'm like, the knob thing sounds cool. And I take the knob and I put it on the screen. And it immediately slides off in the Microsoft store and slides across the floor and like hits the battery case.
You had a bad
the battery case. You
had
up.
Somebody had been licking. Yeah. Somebody had been licking your knob. It's not. Oh God! I can't believe I said that. It's because this sits very nicely. It stays on the thing. It doesn't slide. I use it.
Well, you have it in a much more angled position.
Oh yeah, you don't want to have it like this. Of course, it's going to fall off. But that's not how you use this.
That's not how you're supposed to use it.
You use it
anyway.
As a drafting
that sounds like a
table,
setup,
right?
It sounded like that was a setup situation. You set that up to have this story
intentionally.
To tell.
No, not intentionally at all. I want to like it, just like I wanted to like the Surface before the iPad Pro came out. It's like I have wanted nothing more since I was about 13 than to have a portable computer that I could very easily like draw on and sketch on and then immediately take those concepts and put them into action, you know, bring them back to my Mac or start something on, you know, on a portable computer and then bring it to desktop. But there just really hadn't been like, I don't know.
Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing here. This is awesome.
Apple.
I'm doing 3D models. I'm drawing a 3D model. I'm making. I can rotate.
You're the wrong person to artize anything right now.
Look at this.
I love Apple, but I just want more power. I want innovation. I want new sexy stuff. And I haven't had that since Steve left. And I just want. I want Apple to be Apple, and they're not. And when I see stuff like that from Microsoft, I'm like, ooh,
look,
she's so pretty.
This is sexy. Watch this. Watch this. I'm gonna draw a woman right now. Look at that. There she is.
Very nice.
I just drew a woman. I am so good. I am an artiste.
Can you put stickers on top of that?
In fact, they have a whole web.
Are there
Facebook stickers we can put on
and map the face?
They have a whole website full of these models. This is the Paint 3D that came out with Microsoft's Creators edition. And
I
of
wish
course,
I had my iPad Pro nearby because I have UMake and UMake will do that too.
Well, yeah, but this is a full PC. This is not an iPad.
7 inches.
You know, look, I'm
But you know,
look,
you
I put
know
an alien
great.
In my project. Look at that, and now he's
very
waving.
Nice.
He's waving at the lady.
You're not helping this argument, Leo. Stop
what?
Talking.
Isn't this good?
You're making it worse.
Oh, man.
Welcome to my cube planet. Look at that. Anyway, so Microsoft's having an event May 2nd. It's an education event, at least according to the invitation. But what they are probably going to announce, it's been leaked out now, is the new Windows Cloud version, which is their attempt to get back in schools, which they've been losing ground to the Chromebooks. So they'll be inexpensive. I hope they're not netbooks, but inexpensive computers. And I think that with the Creator's Edition, and with that just came out, and you know, the push towards holographic, they're really interested in getting kids doing 3D design. I think that they have a very, I think, forward-looking point of view about what they're going to do with their hardware. I wouldn't rule them out just yet. And I think this is an excellent drawing, and you guys suck. So there. Mocking my drawing.
Nothing about your drawing.
No. Speaking of the cloud, I think Microsoft knows the Microsoft cloud. They're going to somehow use cloud with this laptop to try to get to the Chromebook kind of thing.
It's a Chromebook, I think. Losing. Yeah,
it's
Windows
just a Chromebook.
Chromebook
kind of thing. But but to get back to the cloud, though, that is, we're talking a little bit about GPU. Sorry, we're talking about CPU and ARM versus Intel, but the GPU is part of it as well, right? This is where Intel and GPUs and those kinds of things are the reason that that ARM just is not going to compete and isn't yet, anyway, competing in the server room. The demand for all of that stuff to run all of this cloud stuff is huge. And the demand for compute power to run big data, to run what's going to be, you know, things like this, you know, cloud computer that Windows is going to do, the Windows Lite version. I still don't have a whole lot of confidence that they can make this thing as lean and minimal as a Chromebook, but we'll see. It's just not a core competency of Microsoft to be lean and minimal. And so we'll see, but I think where Microsoft is doing really well and they have a lot of mojo is in cloud, you know, with Azure. When I was there last year in February, I spent a few days in meetings at Microsoft, and not one person the whole time I was there said the word Windows. Not one person.
Wow.
And this really weirded me out, because they're always about Windows everywhere, and that was the cash cow, and everything went back to that. But I heard Azure more times than I could count on two hands, right? That was all that they wanted to talk about. They've really and smartly hitched their wagon
to the cloud.
To that. I think that's where all the R&D is going. I think that's where all of their internal goals are about. And they really are putting all of their you know, their chips there. And that's really smart, because the Windows brand, I think, is still a bit tarnished from all of the years of, you know, security issues and malware and also the bugginess of different things, as well as the failure of Vista, the failure of Windows 8. Windows 10 is much better, but, you know,
but Windows runs the world. The world runs on Windows.
It does. But
the world.
It's one of those... It's one of those things that it is less and less relevant or important, or maybe not relevant, but central to, you know, business computing, everyday computing, you know, everyday people's computing than it used to be. I think Microsoft is increasingly okay with that. And they've smartly said, we're about sort of the back end, we're about cloud, we're about also apps, which is still front end, and we'll run our apps everywhere on our platform as well as others. And they are kind of winning with that strategy. And that's a much smarter, much different Microsoft than the one we've seen in the past. But that does make me wonder about their Chromebook competitor. Can they really deliver something, you know, useful and interesting with that? It'll be interesting to see.
Well, I just want you to know that in the time you've been talking, I put a cookie in the alien's hand and a clock on the wall. And now I can enter the scene. It's a 3D scene.
Can we pull up Serenity's little graphic novel cartoon that she made?
All right, I'm not an artist.
When she was in the
third grade.
I'm
not an artist.
Can we pull that up? And when you like I said, you're killing my argument. I had her on my team, and then you start with these alien cookies.
Look what Leo can do. Look what Leo can do. I mean, this is pretty impressive.
That's all it is. Purple Scoble.
Look, I just put a little silver chipmunk in it, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at
that.
Don't
make him start singing.
And you know,
oh, God, he's red. And
look at this clock is so realistic. It even has a battery in the back. I mean, this is.
Look at the shine of the green from the alien on the silver chipmunk.
Okay. Moving away. Is there green on it anymore? Yeah, there is. But anyway,
yeah.
don't pay too much attention to that. That's okay.
You keep messing it up. Why'd you move it? I had a good thing going again. And you just...
Can you do this? Woo! All right.
Yeah, but I can do it with my hands.
I can do it with my hands.
Pointer.
You think I can't do it with the hands? I can do it with the hands. Everything I can do with this is a touch screen. I can do it. It's even easier with my hands.
Ooh.
There's lag because this is a complex. What happened? 3D. Complex. It's a complex.
Very complex.
Something else. Change the subject.
Can we look at this in Second Life? Can we share this in Second Life?
Yeah, this is my Second Life chipmunk. Anyway, I don't know.
That explains so much.
Thank you very much. You guys are great. I was going to mention Steve Ballmer's new website, but nobody cares. So USAfacts.org.
I clicked on this, on Friday. I was really impressed by this. There was some really interesting statistics, and I'm a big numbers geek for roller derby, but not really outside of that. And this was a good excuse to kind of dive back into statistics. And I don't know, I'm glad somebody's doing this. I think it's worthwhile to have numbers and facts available to people that aren't, you know, powered by a lobbyist firm.
Well, God well knows said. Steve's got well the money. He's been putting this has been a secret project. He's been putting money into. You thought he was just running the LA Clippers. He's got other stuff going on. Actually, you're right, Serenity. I shouldn't mock it because it is kind of cool. It is USAfacts.org. You can browse it. It's basically everything you would like to know about federal, state, and local government from 70 different sources. And it's all visualized and, I mean, this is kind of, for people who want this kind of thing, you know, clearly you could see Steve Ballmer and his heritage here. He's a numbers guy, right? He wants to see the spreadsheet. He wants to see that's kind of what this is, but it is interactive. It allows you to explore it. I think it's kind of fun. So,
you know, it's visuals really fun, cool, Leo.
Too. Yeah.
If you pull up, I think it's, births, deaths and population. There are some fun spikes where it's like deaths goes way up every time there's a war. Births wow. also goes way up
yep.
in the next year every called, time there's a war.
It's called homeostasis. It's we're trying to be this is kind of cool. So you can add more lines to this, and that's neat. That's really cool. You know, it's a little Wolfram Alpha-y maybe, but, you know.
Is that good or bad?
No, I like Wolfram Alpha, but it's one of those things. Go ahead.
Not as nerdy. It's not as nerdy as Wolfram Alpha. Like, it's nerdy from his perspective of there are a lot of numbers, but I think USAfacts is doing it in a way that's very clear for the average person to understand without trying to, push too much meaning on what it is.
Right.
It's basically just giving you, this is the date. This is the, you know, this is what's right. going on, and here are the factors that you can control. And then you can go as nerdy or as like base level as you want.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yay.
Yay, USA. Woo. Go USA. Go USAfacts.org. Oh, doctors, Owen J.J. Sohn, you'll find more of him at IQMZ.com.
Oh, this chart where I get to talk about myself, fun stuff. Oh, I like this part. So, first of all, I do a show on Wednesdays called Random Drinking where I get drunk and watch funny videos that I find on the internet. It's live on Wednesdays, followed by Twitter. You'll find it. On Mondays, I do a sports show like I'm watching this. I mean, I was paying attention to the show, trust me, but I'm watching the playoffs right now. We talk about sports every Monday night live. And then I have a show called Doctails. That's my baby. You can go out and check. I had Phil Liben on last, and then I had Becky Worley on.
Thanks to you, I know Georgia Dow's real name.
Yeah, Georgia Dow's real name. Uncle Leo's been on it. I got tentatively Kevin Rose is coming up. Padres coming
nice.
Up. I'm probably going to con Jason into doing it. Serenity's already got to do it regardless whether she says yes or no. I'm going to corner her and then get her on the show. It's a fun podcast. You should listen to me sometimes when I'm not on here yelling at Uncle Leo about making this guapole because I love y'all, especially the chat room.
No, it's a great podcast, and I was honored to be on it. And it's Lisa listens to it all the time and tells me all the gossip.
Because that's what we do. I find out all the deepest, darkest secrets. I like
it. DocTales. Deepest. IQMC.com. Serenity Caldwell, you'll find her at iMore. And on the roller derby rink, I understand you had a good practice today.
We had a tournament this weekend in good old Rhode Island. We won our game against Carolina on Saturday, and we unfortunately lost to DC today. But it was a hard fought. I actually have a clip reel of myself that I finally made. This is not from this tournament. This is from our tournament in Dallas, but I just sent it via the Skype chat.
Oh, don't do it via Skype chat. Paste it into the Google Doc. I don't have access to the Skype chat.
Oh, the Google Doc. Yeah. Okay, I got it. I'll make it happen.
What is the name of your team?
I play for the Rhode Island Riveters of Providence Roller Derby.
And you are, as I remember, R2 Detonator.
R2 Detonate.
R2
Detonate.
Oh, man.
I don't have.
Yeah, that's an awesome name.
Isn't that a great name?
That is awesome.
And how about these teams that the team you beat, what was its name?
It was the Carolina All-Stars. Although their B team is the Carolina Bootleggers, which is pretty great.
Nice.
And the DC National Maulers. MAULERS.
I love it.
I love DC has the best team names. They're one of their home teams is called Scare Force One, and it makes me so happy.
Wow.
See, I need that on a t-shirt. Scare Force One,
right?
Yeah.
I get a jersey with Detonator on the back. We got to talk about this. I got to get one of those.
I'm thrilled that roller derby's back. I grew up watching the Bay Area Bombers, and that was crazy and fun, and I think it's become a big sport, right?
It's really awesome. Yeah, Leo.
Underground sport. It's gangster.
Can you get me the URL?
Yeah, I only have view access. I just requested.
Oh, come on. Come on.
It's so sad.
Can you just give me the URL? You know, go ahead. I'll type it.
Yeah, I'll give it to you live on Skype. Okay, so it's youtube.com.
Okay, that I can handle. Yes.
Yeah, youtube.com. Watch. And I'm going to give you some letters. Oh, boy. I don't know if I can
just give
me
the title. Just give me the title of the video.
Okay. Oh, here. You know what? Go to my channel.
I can Google YouTube. Yeah. What's your channel?
Why don't you go to my channel? It's I believe it's just Users Western. Why?
We are showing off our technology skills right now. We are.
I know.
We'll edit all this out. This will never appear in the show.
We're all failing. Okay. So what you're going to do is just Google Serenity Caldwell on YouTube. Yes. You should get my channel.
Yes. All I need is Google. I don't enter in URLs anymore. All I need is Google. There's 12 videos on it. And which one should
I? Just go to the videos. So go to the videos tab.
Okay.
And it's the
silliness
most
on
one.
Skates. Ladies silliness and gentlemen, silliness.
Forget it. We'll do it
on
live.
Skates.
We'll do it live.
This is ridiculous.
Is that you in the blue?
That is me in the blue with the star on. So
the star is the bomber. What do they call her?
The jammer.
Jammer. That's the word. She's being the jammer.
So I have to pass members of the opposing team, in this case in white, to score points.
My favorite move, the Bay Area Bombers used to do this. They take the jammer and they hold her arms on either side and sling her forward.
Sling her. Yeah.
Yeah, the whip.
The whip. They still do the whip. Look at you're tough.
They still do the whip.
You are tough. Don't mess with the R2-Detonate. She's going to mess you up.
It's a really, really fun sport. It's changed my life. Absolutely. And I get to go hang out with my Team Canada friends this weekend.
Nice.
For Beast of the East, which is great. Yeah, nice. I'm on the national Canadian team, and hopefully we will play at the World Cup next February.
You're not from Canada.
I'm Canadian. I am Canadian and American. Yeah, I'm a dual citizen.
That.
Yeah.
Oh. So you could play for.
Tell by the way I say sorry.
Sorry. Eh?
You couldn't tell how nice she was that she was part Canadian. You could. How do you not know
it explains
that,
a lot. I gotta admit it.
Explains a lot.
Yeah. Thank you, Serenity. Thank you so much for being here. You're just the greatest.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thanks, Jason Heiner, for beating me at Scrabble. But.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'll get you next time.
Yes.
Can we make it 3 out of 5?
Absolutely.
JasonHeiner.com. He's at Tech Republic. Don't forget,
Tinker
follow
Republic
the geeks.
Tinker Republic and ZDNet. Yes, Tinker Republic and ZDNet. That's, you know, we do stuff for people who do tech for a living, developers, IT managers, CIOs. Yeah, and lots of long form on Tech Republic, lots of how-to and tips. And ZDNet, of course, is the best place for business tech news.
Global long-form editor. I did not know that was your title. I like it.
Of ZDNet. Yeah, I'm the global long-form editor of ZDNet and then the global editor-in-chief of Tech Republic. So
wow,
keeps me busy.
That's nice.
Keeps me busy.
And you got a great family, too. I know. I see the pictures. Jason,
yes,
thank you so much for being here. Thank you to all of you for joining us.
Uncle Leo, before you close out, can I say something else?
Oh, doctor!
So bonus time. 3 weeks ago, one of my best friends, a guy who I started doing this shows on the internet with 8 years ago, passed away in his sleep. He was 41 years old. Apparently, he had a heart condition he didn't know about, and he never got it checked out. The guy rode a bike 20 miles a day, ran track with his daughter. He left behind a 14-year-old and a 7-year-old. Oh. And as I'm putting together his stuff for his memorial, a lot of the content he has video-wise is us being together. So I'd like to remind every and anybody that has a cell phone, go talk to your parents, talk to your grandparents, ask them where they grew up, where they lived, what they're doing. For all the other stupid cat videos we're posting and looking at, there's so many people around you in your world that you care about. Take time to interview them and take notes or make videos with your kids, because Lord knows how important that stuff is when you're gone. Whether you live to be 1,000 or you pass out tomorrow, you know, take the time to document that stuff and get it down, because we have the technology and the power to do it. And I know AR is coming. I know VR is coming. But for right now, we got the real world. And give somebody a hug and tell them you love them, and then record a conversation and tell a joke and or story.
I
just want you to go do that.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I have video of you doing it right here.
Yes. Embarrassing my child like a grown man should. That's how I do it.
That's how he rolls, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's perfect.
Owen, JJ, thank you for, as always, ending the note in a deep and meaningful way, ending the show in a deep and meaningful way. I appreciate that. Yep. All of this stuff doesn't mean anything if you don't have the people in your life.
The StoryCorps app is a good thing to do that with, too. StoryCorps app, if you do it on their app, it gets archived in the National Archives of the United States. So you can record it on that app and submit it right there if you want to. If not, you can also, you don't have to.
I
got to
do
it.
This. It's StoryCorps, C-O-R-P-S, StoryCorps.org. Yeah. Wow. So you can record it, put it up here, and it will get become part of the archives.
Yes, it becomes part of the human record, right?
This is great.
With my dad, I planned on interviewing him once a year around his birthday, and the one time I did it, he passed away the next year. So at least I had an app to ask him who was his first prom date, what was his first job when he went into the military. You know, I actually was in the process of doing it, and then the next year he was gone. So at least I have that. So,
you know, I just did that with my mom. We were out in Rhode Island about 3 months ago, and I sat her down. I said, tell me who this person is, this person. Tell me this story. And I finally got a lot of her stories, which I'd heard all my life on tape. Tape?
I did this with my 89-year-old grandmother, too, just this year. Yeah. And I heard some incredible stories that, like, blew my mind. Had no idea. And
so can they be audio on this site? Does it matter?
StoryCorps. I just use the app, but yeah, it's just an audio. It has an audio recording.
So I could upload audio to it, or just do this with the StoryCorps app. Nice.
Yeah, the StoryCorps app is what I've never actually seen the site, honestly. I just use the StoryCorps app, which is, again, it's connected. It's this project. I think it's a partnership with NPR, and you can upload it to the National Archives. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to keep as many as they can. You also hear these on NPR. NPR does snippets of them once in a while. Take snippets and play them on there. It's fun.
Corporation for Public Broadcasting, NPR, Ford Foundation, Knight Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, National Endowment for the Arts.
Awesome.
And others.
I love that. And we need to all do that. And thanks, chat room. I love you guys. Thanks for the condolences. Jay Glock, my buddy, like I said, just a great guy, good guy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How's his family doing?
One of those things where it's rough because he was 41 years old.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing,
totally
too.
Totally unexpected.
I'm calling everybody saying, yo, get the full checkup, you know, because again, this guy was in shape and healthy.
Yeah.
But he had a condition and just didn't know about it. So And me, I'm over here checking out the doctor all the time. That's why I'll tell you later on. I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago because I was just.
I saw that picture. Are you okay? I was worried about you. What happened?
I had that going on. Then I had another stressful situation going on, and I just ended up in the hospital for 12 hours to calm down. So, like I said, take time to tell people you love them because you never know how things turn out. But I just had a rough week, and it just got to me. But I'm good now.
All
I'm
right. Straight. We're glad you're okay. And as Jason Heiner's pinned tweet says on his Twitter feed, tomorrow's not promised, but make plans anyway.
There you go.
Make plans to be here next week. 3 p.m. every Sunday. That's Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC. We love having you here. We're glad you could be part of the Twit family. If you can make it live and join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv, that's great. If you want to be in the studio, we love having a studio audience. Email tickets at twit.tv. But, of course, we always make on-demand audio and video of everything we do available at our website, twit.tv, or YouTube, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. In fact, please do me a favor. We're pushing everybody to subscribe because we want to make sure you don't miss an episode. It's always nice, you know, you got a commute, you got a plane ride, you got some time to kill, to know you've got something great to listen to on your phone. So if you'd subscribe, you'd do me a great honor. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the
this
can.
Bye bye. Amazing.
That was cool.
Doing the Twit.
All right.